angling the city. UN officials say some 200,000 people have fled Aleppo in the last 2 days alone.
This is NBC News Radio. In Texas, it's too close to call in the battle between two Republican candidates for the U.S. Senate seat held by Kay Bailey Hutchinson. Today's runoff is between Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst and Tea Party-backed former Texas Solicitor General Ted Cruz. In India, the power grid in the northern part of the country has failed again, second day in a row. And now it appears the eastern grid has dropped as well. That leaves 600 million people without power. Michael Jackson's estate says it has limited some relatives' access to the home shared by his children and mother in the wake of a very public family feud. They didn't say who is no longer allowed at the home, but do say the list is subject to change. And in the Olympics, here's the latest medal count. China leads all in gold with 9. U.S. is next with 5. Overall, China and the United States tied for all medal wins with 17 each. I'm Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio.
Gentlemen, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Were you?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where we garnish agents with the parsley of knowledge, and this is a pop quiz. Think fast. A questionably coordinated customer just collided with a vat of lard. Is your business covered for a slip and fall? If you're not sure, come talk to a farmer's agent and we'll help make sure your coverage is as slick as the porky goodness your customer slipped on in the first place.
If you want answers about business insurance, you want a farmer's agent. Find yours at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
A project manager for AT&T Wireless and an unemployed video game enthusiast are among the 10 people trusted with making one of the most important decisions in the history of our mobile technology industry. They're jurors selected yesterday in the trial to decide whether Samsung's smartphones and tablets are rip-offs of Apple's iPhone and iPad. Opening arguments are slated to begin today in San Jose. The Japan earthquake and tsunami of now almost a year and a half ago pummeled companies, including Japan's automakers. But today, Honda Motor reports its business finally is returning to pre-earthquake form. Its profit quadrupled last year from a year ago to the yen equivalent of $1.7 billion, as vehicle sales almost doubled. Sales and profit increases across every part of the world, except Europe, where sales have been hurting for every automaker. European stock markets are higher about 0.5%, following bigger gains for Asia. S&P futures are up 4 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
We're fashion retailers,
wine wholesalers,
a surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners
to fuel innovation and a new economy,
and to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at IBM.com/engines.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
If it's hard to stop or you hear squealing and grinding noises during braking, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll find the brake parts you need from trusted brands like BrakeBest, BrakeBest Select, and Wagner ThermoQuiet at everyday low prices. Play it safe with brake parts from O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where trial by fire is taken literally, and this is a pop quiz. True or false? Choosing an auto policy can be confusing.
True. About as confusing as learning to speak dolphin. Luckily, we lay out your coverage options in plain English and never subject you to the terribly condescending manner in which dolphins communicate.
If you want answers about auto insurance, you want a Farmer's agent. Find yours at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Well, yep, absolutely welcome. 6 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, the 31st day of July, which would obviously make it the last day of July, August, right behind the corner. And I don't dare do this because it'll freak Jeff out. But you realize that, you know, a month from today is September. It's all I'm saying. It's all I'm saying. And I'm enjoying summer. So this idea that Jeff has that I am somehow protesting the hot months is just not true. I'm loving this weather. Truly, I am. I'm loving it. Good morning, everybody. Back in studio today. Enjoyed our time at the American Federation of Teachers Conference. I want to thank AFT Michigan President David Hecker and AFT International President Randy Weingarten for their wonderful hosting of the First Shift radio program. Thoroughly enjoyed being at COBO. Thoroughly enjoyed meeting everybody I met, not only our guests, but those that I met off the air as well. Everybody was duly impressed with the city, although I did, you know, talk openly about some of the concerns, but that's okay. I mean, these were not horrible concerns. They just would like to have seen the city busier, but that's okay. We all like to see the city busier, so it's not like we disagree on that. Correct. Absolutely. So anyway, happy to be back in studio. We've got a great program lined up for you today. In fact, let me grab the list and share with you what we're going to do. Bill Allison will join us from the Sunlight Foundation. Sunlight Foundation looks at the money in politics and tells us in a very unbiased way where that money's going and why you might be want to be paying attention to that. We, of course, do. We, of course, will. We, of course, will welcome them to the show just after 7 o'clock at 7:35. State Representative Diane Slavens joins us. Is there an answer to what happened with the Speaker of the House in Roy Schmidt? Is there an answer to election reform in a way that's responsible, that's kind, caring, compassionate, considerate, and not discriminatory? Well, Diane Slavens has the answer to that, and I think you want to hear it. Chris Mihalakis will join us. Of course, he, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, will take a look at their endorsements today. He'll also, as he spent some time at the AFT conference this past weekend, in fact, spoke to them on Saturday. He will be joining us a little later on this morning, as he does every single Tuesday. And with all that said and all that done and all that out of the way, it's time we do this.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is realize. Not realization, although certainly it fits into that family, but realize. You realize at some point something needs to happen, something's going to happen, something did happen. You realize the importance of what it is that you need to do. I got to tell you, it is clearly one of those things, a realization that is. It is clearly one of those things that can be enlightening. It can be empowering. It can be lots of things. But a realization or to realize something really means that you're paying attention. And ultimately, that matters to me. I didn't say that you're paying attention to what I believe in or what I'm saying or that you're agreeing with everything that I'm agreeing with. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you realize that there are certain reasons to focus on whatever it is that's in front of you. I also understand that not everybody is politically as focused as I'd like them to be. I was going to say as I am, but few people are as politically centered as I am, and that's okay. I don't mean that I'm in the center, because I'm not. I'm way to the left, to the left, to the left. But I'm okay with that, too. Realize, folks, that part of what you have to do in order to accomplish what you need to accomplish is to continue to realize what your circumstances are. You need to realize what it is that you do on a daily basis that gets you closer to what it is that you want. But that's, again, part of the challenge. And when you realize that you want something, then you need to have another realization, and that's how do we get there? Oh, yes, it's not a vicious circle at all. It's a realistic circle. Deal with it. Deal with it. Embrace it. Love it. Yeah. I think just got to understand that part of realizing what needs to be done is knowing that you're paying attention. And for that, I'll give you a star on the forehead. You remember those days, don't you? Yep, today's first word is realize. And I realize the Tigers lost last night, Jeff, but I also realize there's nothing I can do about that. Good morning to you, sir. Good to be back in studio.
Well, good morning, AST. How you doing?
AST?
Yes, Anti-Summer Tony. Good to have you back in the studio.
I'm not anti-summer.
You just really hope fall gets here soon.
No, no, actually, my favorite season is spring, just so we can clear that up.
Because it's the end of winter?
Yeah, I hate winter.
Yeah, well, of course. That's why everyone's favorite summer should be, or favorite season should be spring.
But I'm not anti-summer Tony. I'm just pro-football Tony, and that just happens to be played in the fall. I had nothing to do with it. That happened long before I even was a twinkle in daddy's eye, so... Sorry, dude. It is what it is. You just need to realize, Jeff, that I don't change that.
Oh, way to drop the word of the day in there.
Well, you got to realize that sometimes
here we go.
That is what it is. I could. Yeah,
that's two. You want me to keep counting?
Oh, I could. Trust me, I could. You're going to realize before this day's over that I can use the word realize a lot more than you realized I could.
Five.
Wow.
Anyway, yes, glad to have you back. I realized that was going nowhere, so.
And it would have continued to go nowhere, so thank you for stopping it. Yeah, it's good to be back. It was good to get away. It's good to get back. It's always that way. And then I, yesterday got word that I'll be on the road again next week. So, the Teamsters have a conference happening up at Shanty Creek. And I will be headed up there Sunday and be doing the show there Monday and Tuesday. I will get back in time Tuesday to vote because it is primary day and wouldn't want to not be back to vote. And it's too late to do absentee, so.
Are you taking your clubs up there?
No, I don't. I don't golf anymore.
You don't?
No, I have a bad elbow.
It's a summer event? Is that
no,
what it is?
I have a bad elbow. I had actually Tommy John surgery, not once, but twice.
So you should be able to pitch a lot faster now.
I should, but unfortunately, I didn't go to Dr. James Andrews. Isn't that the guy everybody goes to?
For everything, yeah.
Right, and I didn't go to him, and I should have. I'm not exaggerating. I won't mention the name of the two doctors that did surgery on my elbow, but the first one didn't come close to fixing it, and the second one... Didn't come close to fixing it. It's been really a profound disappointment. I can't bowl anymore either, and I used to love to bowl. I sucked at it, but I loved it. But I can't swing a golf club, and I can't throw a bowling ball any longer. I can, but it's extremely painful.
Your arm might still be attached to the ball as it goes down the...
But, you know, there may be some truth to that, and that's not something you want to find out, because there's only one way to find that out. So, yeah, that's that. But anyway, back to the Tigers. They lost last night in what sounded like a pretty sloppy game.
Yeah, it doesn't bode well for them. Their horrible road trip, or actually, as Dave Dombrowski classified it, their lousy road trip continues. And you know what? They're playing a hot team in Boston, in the Boston Red Sox. And I guess before the Cleveland series, you'd say the Tigers were a hot team. Although I'll take the hot team at home over the hot team on the road, because obviously this road trip has squashed any hotness that the Tigers had going on with them.
Yeah, well, that's done and over with.
But JV takes the mound today.
Well, I remind you his last outing on the seventh inning, which is my last impression of him, because it has to be. But it's okay. We'll be all right. I want to say good morning to our friend Christine Berry from bloggingformichigan.com, who is up and at 'em, as you know, Jeff, very early this morning, tweeting like a birdie. Literally tweeting like a birdie. Well, not, you know what I mean. So good morning to you, Christine. Glad to have you. Was it storming when you came in this morning, Jeff?
No. Why, is it raining now?
It was. We got lots of lightning, some thunder, but lots of lightning on our way in.
Yeah, I saw the lightning starting, but I didn't hear the thunder, so yeah, it must have been far away.
We had plenty of, interesting weather coming in. It didn't rain real hard. I mean, it did rain, but not real hard. But I'm just watching the weather now, and it looks like this stuff is just about moved off. Well, no, that's not true. Maybe another hour or so. But that's okay, because we can use the rain. Not that I'm anti-summer, because you do know it rains in the summer months, and we haven't had much of it. But what a beautiful weekend we had. Weather-wise, it was great. It looks like next weekend's going to be beautiful as well.
Looks like the rest of this week, after today, it seems to clear out of here and get...
Well, you know what? I'm going to wait for the weather. And since we're up against the break, I'm going to get the weather from the one and only Anthony.
Then you'll realize that, oh my goodness, the lights are going.
There you go. All right, let's take a quick break. I have some leftover audio from the weekend that I'm going to share with you, and then we've got some other stuff going on. Mitt Romney continues to make a complete asshat of himself on his little foreign relations tour. I think that he's made a compelling case as to why we shouldn't vote for him. Now, what's interesting is Republicans are basically telling him to shut up. But Republican voters, I don't know. What do you think? If you're a Republican voter, what do you think of Mitt Romney? And don't call and say, well, Barack Obama did this, because I want to hear it. We got to take a break. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
I've always thought it as something that's still holding the country back. You choose to love whoever you love. It's no different than discriminating against blacks. It's discrimination, plain and simple.
On 1310 WDTW.
I think it's the right thing to do. So whether it costs them votes or not, it's really not about votes. It's about people.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we just picked up two brand new accidents. First one's over on 96 eastbound, just before Livernois, has your left lane blocked. Telegraph Road southbound, just after Long Lake Road, accident has traffic getting by in the left lane only. And the accident over on 94 westbound, just before Gratiot Avenue, that has your left lane blocked, now traffic is backing up from East Outer Drive. And also the accident on 96 eastbound at Milford Road, has your right lane blocked, and there's also water across the roadway, so please use some caution in that area. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 84 with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, partly cloudy and 65. Tomorrow, sunny and 87 degrees, and it's currently 72 and rainy outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
I'm sorry, 22 minutes after. Welcome back. Tuesday already, man. End of July. I just can't believe how quickly the summer is flying by. We've got so much more to do. Of course, the primaries a week from today, we'll be talking about those extensively with Christos Mihalakis in the 8 o'clock hour. Do you like my bastardized Greek? Okay, it's as good as it's going to get for me, guys. Anyway, I'm, you know, anxious for primary day to get here, probably not nearly as anxious as some of the candidates are. It's a very angst-filled time, no question about it. For some people, depending on how long you've been at it, you know, you can work and work and work and work and work at it, and then within a matter of a 12, a 13-hour day, a 14-hour day, it's over. And that's it. The polls close, and then you learn your fate. Trust me on this one. When you are on the losing end, and I've been there, when you're on the losing end of a campaign, and the next day, so next Wednesday, the losers, well, they're losers, and they don't. Nobody calls them. The phone doesn't ring. Oh, your mom might call or a bud, but that's about it. You know, people kind of move on, especially in a primary, because the general's next. Everybody kind of takes a really big, deep breath, exhales, and then goes to work for the general. Because the primary, even though in some of these races the primary will be the general, there's still a general election. You still have to work for it, and that work will get done, that's for sure. And everybody starts raising money all over again, and then you have to kind of put your biases aside. You just got to be careful. We're going to bring in some candidates this week, but we're pretty much got it cleaned up for the primary. What will happen in the general, we'll worry about that when the time comes. All right, very quickly here, I wanted to get to some of the other audio that we got to. One of the things we talked about on Friday's show was a program called First Book. First Book. And I talked to Rebecca Liss with First Book, which is a program that gives many children, there's a shocker, their first book. Let's listen to that interview.
Let's talk about, we talked very briefly on the show about First Book on Friday's show. So now it's Monday. I've had a chance to actually leave with your CEO, heard her speak in inside the big conference room. Let's talk a little bit further about what First Book is and how big it's become in such a short period of time.
So First Book is a national nonprofit that gets books out to kids from low-income families. We serve kids, we serve programs that serve kids from ages birth to 18. And we're about 20
20 years old. This year we'll be giving out our 100 millionth book.
100 million books?
100 millionth book, yes.
Now, I understand that one of your biggest challenges is that because the program's gotten so popular is finding warehousing space. Is that true in some communities?
It is. We have two ways that we get books out to programs that we work with. And we work with over 30,000 programs nationwide and are constantly looking to find educators and service providers and program leads who touch the children's lives and who work with those children so that we can connect with them to get books out through those program leads and through those teachers and through those educators to the kids. We have two programs. One is the First Book National Book Bank, and that is the system that distributes books nationwide for free and, you know, just for the cost of shipping, and we do use warehouse space and depend on warehouse space for that. The other program that we have is called the First Book Marketplace, and that URL is fbmarketplace.org, and that's where folks that are registered with First Book can go online and access really high-quality Caldecott Newbery Award-winning titles at really 50-90% off retail, so for an average cost of about $2.50 a book.
That's amazing. You know, I misidentified this as being a new program. It's not a new program. 20 years in the making, so I wanted to correct that up front. I find it interesting that you're here at a teacher's conference. Are there still teachers that aren't familiar with your program?
We are considered the best kept secret in the industry, in all honesty. I think our founder and CEO, Kyle Zimmer, has had the philosophy that rather than dream about what we're going to do, we should actually be activists and get it done and then talk about it. So we've spent the last 20 years building a fabulous system to get books in the pipeline, to get books out nationwide, and now we're ready to dream about it and hopefully get the word out about First Book and become a little more well-known and a little less of a best-kept secret.
All right, well, we're going to do our best to see if we can blow the lid off that. Let's talk about how people can become engaged. Can they donate books? Can they donate money? I mean, how can the average person listening to us right now get involved with First Book?
So if you are a program or service provider serving a group of children where at least 70% of the kids you serve come from low-income families, or if you work with a Title I or Title I eligible school, you can register with First Book at firstbook.org/register. If you want to just get involved with First Book and become a friend of First Book or find out how you can donate to First Book or start what we call an advisory board, which is a local chapter of First Book that helps identify programs in the community that can benefit from our resources and raise money to help support those programs, you can go to firstbook.org for more information.
All right. I just think this is something that people are going to want to do. Certainly, one of the questions people are going to have is, we're in Detroit. If I make a commitment, is that something that the people in Detroit will benefit from, in the Detroit area, or is it more national in scope?
It is both. Detroit will benefit and nationwide will benefit. We were actually here with the First Book National Book Bank in Detroit about last week, I think it was, where we gave out over 400,000 books nationwide, and over 100,000 of them stayed in the Detroit community. And so just last week, we were able to get a number of books out to the teachers and community programs that serve this much deserving audience.
You know, interestingly, they were playing a video of that. It was really fascinating to watch the warehouse filling up, and then quickly, because they were doing it stop motion, the warehouse, of course, then empties out, which is just wonderful, because that means not only did the books come in, but they actually went to the people that they were intended to. You know, as we think about this, how many programs actually and honestly end up exactly where you want them to be, in the hands of children that don't have books any other way?
The programs that we serve certainly get the books out through the kids. But, you know, we're only scratching the surface. We have just over 30,000 programs registered with us now. But we estimate that there's over 1.2 million out there that serve this population and can benefit from our resources. So we're just beginning to scratch the surface.
Well, it's all very exciting. I want to thank you for giving us some time today. And we'll look forward to perhaps partnering with you in the future to help First Book continue on its mission to make sure every kid that deserves a book gets a book.
We look forward to it, too. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
It is a great program, and so if you haven't had a chance to explore it yet, you know, take the time to do that. I think you're going to find it's just fascinating what they're doing. The program that they just did here in Detroit, they showed the video of it, Got a lot of books out between the Detroit area and the Toledo, Ohio area. Got a lot of books out to families that some of these homes have never had a book in them before. Think about how empowering that is. All right, let's take a quick break here. We're up against it. Love being back in the studio. Like I said, love getting out, love getting back. We'll take the break. Much more to get to. Feel free to join us, by the way, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your commute, we got several accidents we're watching. 94 westbound just before Gratiot, 96 eastbound just before Illinois. Accident has your left lane blocked. Eastbound 96 at Milford, right lane is blocked by an accident, and you also got water across the roadway. And also Telegraph Road southbound just after Long Lake Road, accident has your right lane blocked, but that is in the clearing stages right now. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Ford.
Drive through your local McDonald's and try the new Blueberry Pomegranate Smoothie. This healthy McCafe beverage is made with ripe blueberries, pomegranate juice, and creamy low-fat yogurt, and is only available for a limited time. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 84 with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, partly cloudy and 65. Tomorrow, sunny and 87 degrees, and it's currently 72 and rainy outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trupiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Bizarrely, the CEOs of America's highly conglomerated news sources keep trying to jack up profits by shedding the editors and reporters who actually create their product. Not to worry, though, for a new breed of political editors has arisen to guide reporters. Who are these new, green-eye-shaded overseers of what's allowed in our daily dose of political news? The candidates and office holders whom the media supposedly cover. Yes, newspapers are outsourcing a key part of their political coverage to the coverees. For example, both Obama and Romney insist that their staffs be allowed to edit any interviews or quotations that are to appear in print. Holy Joseph Pulitzer! What reputable news source would ever agree to giving politicians the right to delete, rephrase, and otherwise sanitize their public comments? Answer? Bloomberg News, National Journal, New York Times, Politico, and, well, just about all that claim to be the legitimate press. The Romney campaign even requires reporters who interview any of Mitt's five sons to use only quotes censored by his press office. For these public figures to demand such Orwellian control is outrageous, but for the media to go along is disgraceful. It's not something I'm particularly proud of, says a National Journal reporter. Proud of? How about ashamed of? How about turning in your press pass? We don't like the practice, weaseled the New York Times managing editor. How pathetic. If a powerhouse paper like the Times doesn't like it, then just refuse to do it. This is Jim Hightower saying, luckily, some, such as the National Journal, have now been embarrassed into finally saying no to this blatant censorship. To help stiffen the jello backbones of other so-called news sources, contact Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, www.fair.org.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock, and good morning to you. Mitt Romney continues the foibles of his European journey. Or as it's known in my circles, how the asshat turns. This guy is just an absolute nightmare. I don't even know where to begin. I'm serious. I don't know where to begin. He has made such a fool out of himself. Now, you got to understand, the point of this European tour was to show how what a statesman Mitt Romney was, that Willard was somehow seen and respected around the globe for his foreign policy acumen. Well, it hasn't quite, in fact, I shouldn't use the word quite, it hasn't turned out that way at all. He has continued to open his mouth, which has been the problem. If he would have just shut up, and I did say shut up, if he would have just shut up, he would have been far ahead than he is right now. Let me just share with you. Really interesting. The Israeli defense minister, his name is Ehud Barak. So you understand, I'm trying not to spin this, and I'm really trying not to spin it. Ehud Barak is talking about President Obama and the relationship that our country has with Israel right now. I'm going to just let this speak for itself, and then we'll get to what Mitt Romney's doing.
You've studied U.S.-Israeli relations over many years. How would you describe the relationship today?
I think that from my point of view as defense minister, they are extremely good, extremely deep and profound. I can see along years administrations of both sides of political aisle deeply supporting the state of Israel. I believe that that reflects a profound feelings among the American people. But I should tell you honestly that this administration under President Obama is doing in regard to our security more than anything that I can remember in the past.
More than any other president, LBJ, Bill Clinton, or George W. Bush?
Yeah. In terms of the support for our security, the cooperation of our intelligence, the sharing of thoughts in a very open way, even when there are differences which are not simple sometimes, I found their support for our defense very stable.
So just to be precise, the most supportive ever, in your opinion?
Yeah, from the kind of two generations that I can bring to memory, from probably Carter on, I cannot say exactly about LBJ because I didn't watch it from close distance, but from Carter on, the defense relationship between Israel and the United States are extremely stable and good. It doesn't mean that we agree on anything. It's very well known that we have differences between our government and the American administration about peace process, about other issues, but I believe that in regard to world terror, in regard to Hezbollah, in regard to what happens in Syria, in regard to Iran, we basically agree on the diagnosis. We don't agree on the prognosis on some of the issues.
Well, now, you know, so take that for what it's worth. Again, I was very careful not to spin it in any direction. You can, of course, I would think if you're conservative, you're going to say, yeah, but he said this and he said that. That's fine. Go ahead and spin it any way you want. I just didn't want to spin it. I just offered it up for what it is. Two generations, this is the most profoundly deep connection we've had with Israel. He said both political parties are very supportive of the state of Israel. So that you understand that. Now, Mitt Romney's had his fair share of problems. Before we get into Rachel Maddow, Karl Rove, who was George W. Bush's henchman, is not afraid to attack Republicans. In fact, he was responsible for John McCain losing his bid for the presidency against George W. Bush. Karl Rove had this to say about Mitt Romney's mistakes abroad.
Let me ask you about the Republican candidate for president. Mitt Romney is overseas. He's gotten tangled up in some of this controversy over the Olympics. How big a deal is that? How much might it hurt him?
Well, it's a deal. I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, the British newspapers are like tabloids, but you have to sort of shake your head. Governor Romney went to the London Olympics at the invitation of the International Olympic Committee. It was a great opportunity for him to talk about his experiences in which, look, he stepped away from the leadership of Bain Capital for 3 years in order to step in and save the floundering Salt Lake City Winter Olympics of 2002. And I bet there's lots of stories he could be talking about what a wonderful experience that was and how uplifting and inspiring it was. And instead, he got stuck making a comment that the Brits took as an insult, and he walked it back pretty quickly and walked it back adroitly, but nonetheless, the damage was done.
Yeah, the damage was done, and I don't know how adroit it was, but again, we'll let the Republicans spin it their way. Rachel Maddow spent some time, as she always does, some considerable time and thoughtful time breaking down Mitt Romney's visit. We're going to take a look at a couple different issues. We'll start with health care and socialized medicine, and this is what Mitt Romney is endorsing in Israel. Listen to this.
This particular brand of awkwardness for Mr. Romney and his presidential campaign actually came up again yesterday on the second leg of what has turned out to be Mr. Romney's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad trip abroad. Mr. Romney was addressing a group of wealthy campaign donors in Israel, and he said to them this, quote, "Do you realize what healthcare spending is as a percentage of the GDP in Israel? 8%. You spend 8% of GDP on healthcare. You're a pretty healthy nation. We spend 18% of our GDP on healthcare, 10 percentage points more." So Mr. Romney in Israel praising with an almost childlike sense of wonder the Israeli miracle of how they have kept their health costs so low with great health outcomes as a result. Do you want to know the secret of how Israel keeps its health costs so low while still getting great outcomes? They have a nationalized health system. They have sort of an extra socialist version of Romney Care, by which I mean Obamacare, with an individual mandate and everything. The government in Israel forces you to have health insurance. The government heavily regulates the insurance plans and tells them exactly what they have to cover. The plans even have to cover people who have pre-existing conditions. You ever heard about that as a possibility here? It is essentially the same stuff as Romney Care and therefore Obamacare, except it is slightly more socialist in Israel. And they love it. And it's working. Just like the Brits love it, and it's working there, too.
All right, so that's issue one. That's issue one. We'll go to issue, we'll wait until after the break to get to the other two clips. I'm just telling you, it has to, I know I've said this ad nauseum, but it has to be said again. If I'm a Republican and Mitt Romney's my candidate, I understand now why, instead of defending Mitt Romney, you attack Barack Obama, because there's nothing to defend. You can't defend the indefensible, and I get that. You can't look at Mitt Romney and say, well, at least he's done this, or at least he said that, or at least he's accomplished this, because there is nothing. You can't bring anything to the table, and when you can't, you have to take any little thing, even if it's a lie. You take every little thing, even if it's misquoting somebody, you take every little thing like editing somebody's words and manipulating them to make a point that should have never been made to begin with, because you understand that if you actually have to deal with the reality of what your candidate is actually like, nobody, including you, the Republican, can bear that reality. And we all know it. And I get that. So I feel poorly. Some would say that, you know, this is the Republicans' Michael Dukakis moment. You know, Michael Dukakis, when he ran for the presidency, was not loved by the Democrats, but he was the guy, so we just kind of swallowed hard and dealt with it and you know, kind of held our nose and got through it and got over it, and that was the end of that. Is this the similar situation? Well, the one difference is that this economy, which of course has been threatened and caused by George W. Bush, but it's amazing what short memories the American people have. Anybody that thought that Barack Obama would come in and turn the economy around instantaneously is crazy. And when he promised hope and change, folks, he had just a little bit of assistance from the other side. Oh, the profound hope and change we would have in this country right now. But nope. Republicans are not stupid people. They understood that if they played the game and they spun the spin and they manipulated the message and they lied about Barack Obama, that enough of you stupid people, you Fox News chewing people, would go, oh, I knew that I was right all along, and Barack Obama proves it on a daily basis because we now know that he's a socialist communist. Which we actually heard on this very program. Oh, how sad it is that you have to hang everything you've got on one hook. After a while, the weight of all those coats that you're hanging on that hook, well, it's going to break the hook. And then you'll have nothing to hang anything on. All right, a little more audio when we continue. As we are back in studio, happy to be back. It is a Tuesday morning. Stay where you're at and feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We will be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'm running for re-election in the 14th District. Other communities in this new district, like Pontiac, Southfield, and Oak Park, already know my passion for serving. They know my track record of getting things done, like helping President Obama pass the health care bill and save the auto industry. They know that I also helped create nearly 3,500 jobs in our area. And while I may not be from Detroit, the fights I've led in Congress have benefited struggling families across this city. That's why this message is for you, Detroit. I firmly believe that our region will never be successful without a vibrant city of Detroit. If you vote for me, I commit to you that no other candidate will ever outwork me, and that no other community will ever outweigh you. I'm asking for the honor of serving you in the new 14th Congressional District, and more importantly, I'm asking for your vote. I'm Gary Peters, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
On 1310.
WDTW.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, we're going to go right to the phones. We've got some audio to get to as well. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Tony at the TonyShow.org on Twitter at Tony Truppiano. Amir in Detroit joins me now. My brother, it's a pleasure to hear from you. Good Tuesday morning to you.
Good Tuesday morning to you too, Tony. You know, it's funny. I was talking to a Republican yesterday, and he's like, oh, y'all can't talk about the past. And I said, well, then let me ask you a question. Today is the 27th, so that means we can't talk about what Barack Obama did on the 26th. You know, they want to holler, you can't talk about the past, but then they want to talk about the past. Because the 3 years previously that Barack Obama's been in office, that's the past, isn't it?
Yeah. Why can't they talk about the past? And what was his justification for saying that?
Oh, well, his justification for saying it because Barack Obama's been in office for 4 years. And I said, okay, well, you talking about the 4 years he's been in office, but you can't talk about it because that's the past. I mean, the past is the past, correct?
Yeah, yesterday is the past. The beginning of this call is the past. Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Right. You know, what I did yesterday was in the past. What I do right now is the present. What I do tomorrow is the future. So Republicans, get what you're talking about. We can talk about the past because you continue to talk about the past, how things were. You want to take your country back. That's talking about the past.
Agreed. I don't, first of all, I'm sorry, and thank you for the call. I'm sorry that you had to talk to a Republican yesterday, number one. And I am sorry you had to do that because it sounds to me like you had a pretty typical conversation. All right, back to Rachel Maddow. This is actually quite embarrassing, and it's one of those things, and you just have to listen to it and extract from it what you will, but this will tell you why. I mean, if foreign policy matters to you, this is why Mitt Romney should never be elected. Go ahead, Jeff.
Then there was the next rake that they stepped on, this one at a $1 million fundraising event, also in Israel, where Mr. Romney literally sat at the right hand of Sheldon Adelson, the casino billionaire who says he will spend $100 million or more to defeat President Obama and elect Mitt Romney the next president, while sitting next to Sheldon Adelson, who is currently under Justice Department investigation for allegations of bribing foreign officials to advance his Chinese gambling interests. Mr. Romney asserted something quite strange about something quite sensitive. He attempted to describe, wildly inaccurately, the economic disparity between Israelis and the Palestinians who live under Israeli control. He described that economic disparity as about 2-1, when really it's about 20-1. But more importantly than wildly getting his numbers wrong, Mr. Romney also said that the comparative wealth of Israelis and the comparative poverty of Palestinians is due to culture. He said, quote, culture makes all of the difference. So if you're an average dude living in the West Bank and you make less than the average dude living in Tel Aviv, you can blame your inferior culture, Mr. Palestinian. After everybody and their mother freaked out about that, the Romney campaign tried to make things better by explaining that Mr. Romney also thinks cultural inferiority explains why Mexicans are poor, too. And Ecuador. That's why the people of Ecuador are poor. As you might expect, that did not make the Palestinians feel any better about this. A senior aide to the Palestinian president telling the Washington Post, quote, all I can say is that this man needs a lot of education. He doesn't know the region. He doesn't know Israelis. He doesn't know Palestinians. And to talk about the Palestinians as an inferior culture is really a racist statement. I've never heard this from any Israeli, to be honest. He should know that the Palestinians will never reach their economic potential under Israeli occupation. And if he doesn't know this fact, this man has a lot to learn. The harm he has done to American interests throughout the region is enormous. So, yeah, the Romney campaign is now also trying to walk that back. They're now saying, quote, this was not in any way an attempt to slight the Palestinians. And everyone knows that. That's part of the quote, actually. Everyone knows that. Really, everyone.
Well, apparently everybody but the Palestinians and most of the people that are accusing him of being racist, which is pretty easy to do when you look at what he said. All right, last but not least, let's get it all in before the top of the hour. Last but not least, Rachel Maddow goes on to talk about all of Romney's gaffes to this point. Listen to this.
But think about this trip overall, right? And, I mean, in London, Mr. Romney insults Britain's preparedness to host the Olympics. He suggests that the British people may not turn out to support the Olympics. He discloses what was supposed to be a secret off-the-record meeting with the head of MI6. He appears to forget the name of the Labour Party leader he is meeting with there, calling him Mr. Leader instead. He sits through the We Love Socialized Medicine pageant at the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, and then he caps it all off by his now classic reference to looking out of the British Prime Minister's backside.
To look out of the backside of 10 Downing Street and see a venue having been constructed.
The British press actually kind of gave him a pass on that one because of the whole difference between American English, British English thing. I think the British press generously concluded that the word backside must not mean over here what it means over there. Actually, you guys, you know what? Backside is backside. It's the same everywhere. And he said he was looking out the backside of... But that was just the first leg of the trip. Leg two was Israel, the awkward boomeranging praise for the socialized healthcare service there, almost starting a war with Iran and then trying not to, and then saying Palestinians are poor because of their inferior culture. You just want to take it back, take it all back, undo it all. Retroactively, don't take this trip.
Yeah, or as I've now said more than once, he should have just kept his freaking mouth shut. But no, Mitt Romney can't do that. So as he was crawling out of somebody's ass and looking at it from their backside, which is basically what he said he was doing, he is truly an embarrassment. All right, well, listen, we'll have plenty of opportunity to continue to do this because Mitt Romney will continue to be a candidate. Oh, and we're just 30 days away from the Republican National Convention. Sometime in the next few weeks, we're going to find out who the Republican vice presidential nominee will be. That'll take the heat off Mitt Romney for a little while. If they're smart, they're actually going to release some tax information right before they do that. It'll be damaging and damning, but then they'll announce who the vice presidential candidate is. That'll take the pressure off Mitt once again. If they continue to do this sleight of hand game that they continue to play, well, it just may be enough. I'm not optimistic it will be, but I am optimistic that as long as we get out the vote, and I say we, that's Democrats, on November 6th, well, we just may win this thing, but I'm not conceding anything at all. Thank you very much. All right. Very quickly, I got to mention UnionCircle.com. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but folks, if you haven't been there yet, and many of you have signed up, don't forget to do it. Just go to UnionCircle.com, sign up, and then friend me so that I know you've done it. And I'm not using it as much as I will be using it, but I am using it, as many of you are, and I really do appreciate that. I've picked up quite a few friends in the process, so check it out, okay? Would you do that for me? Thanks. Let's take a break for the top of the hour. Sunlight Foundation, when we continue, State Rep. Diane Slavens, Chris Mihalakis, lots to do, and plenty of time to do it. So stay where you're at or go get your coffee like I'm going to do, and we'll come back and continue this thing we call First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your commute, we got several accidents we're watching. 94 westbound just before Gratiot. 96 eastbound just before Livernois. Accident has your left lane blocked. Eastbound 96 at Milford. Right lane is blocked by an accident. And you also got water across the roadway. And also Telegraph Road southbound just after Long Lake Road. Accident has your right lane blocked, but that is in the clearing stages right now. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Ford.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 84 with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, partly cloudy and 65. Tomorrow, sunny and 87 degrees, and it's currently 72 and rainy outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Barton Eckert. Syria activists say fighting between government forces and rebels in the city of Aleppo is stretching into its 11th day. Fighting in Syria's largest city has now lasted longer than the rebel assault on the capital, Damascus, that regime troops crushed earlier this month. NBC's Richard Engel is in Syria.
The government assault on Aleppo is strangling the city. UN officials say some 200,000 people have fled Aleppo in the last 2 days alone.
Opening statements are set for later this morning in Joliet, Illinois, in the trial of Drew Peterson in the 2004 death of his third wife, Kathleen Savio. Peterson was only charged after his fourth wife, Stacy Peterson, went missing in 2007. Wall Street begins the day after stocks were flat at the close of trading on Monday. Investors seem to be waiting for outcomes from a Federal Reserve meeting and a European Central Bank's meeting this week. This is NBC News Radio. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney wraps up his three-nation overseas tour today with what's described as a major speech in Warsaw. Romney has been forced to fight off controversy after he called Jerusalem the Israeli capital and said later that differences in culture powered Israel's economic success compared with the Palestinians. NBC's Peter Alexander reports from Poland.
The Romney campaign forcefully pushed back, calling the reporting of the comments a gross mischaracterization. Their top strategist said this was not in any way an attempt to slight the Palestinians, and everyone knows that.
President Obama collected more than $2 million at a campaign fundraiser in Manhattan last night. Dozens of supporters paid $40,000 a plate for the private dinner. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton begins a 11-day swing across Africa today, topping her agenda, growing security from Islamist militants and China's increasing influence throughout Africa. I'm Barton Eckert, NBC News Radio.
Hey, this is Mike Rowe talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford senior master technician. Can the work save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, by making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Get the service you need and save money on gas. $29.95 or less after $10 mail-in rebate at your local Ford dealer.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you for the Works Fuel Saver package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. Claim based on EPA averages. See your participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 8/31/12.
The Home Depot is rolling out a new way to do any paint project faster. New Behr Premium Plus Ultra with stain blocking, now just $31.98 a gallon. The number one paint and primer in one now has powerful new stain blocking for the toughest jobs and better adhesion on almost any surface. Time to roll with new improved Behr Ultra, the newest way to a faster paint project. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Today, the back-and-forth lawsuits between two mobile power players, Apple and Samsung, go where no one has gone before. The start of a trial. Jury selection was completed in one day. Opening arguments slated to start in San Jose today. Samsung is accused of, in Apple's words, slavishly copying the designs of the iPhone and iPad for its Galaxy products. The U.S. equities unit of giant Swiss bank UBS lost more than $350 million last quarter, and it blames the Nasdaq's handling of Facebook's bungled IPO. It plans to recoup that loss by taking legal action against the operator of the Nasdaq exchange. For its loss, UBS points specifically to what it says was the Nasdaq's failure to confirm pre-market orders for Facebook stock until hours after Facebook was trading publicly. Stock markets in Japan and Hong Kong rose better than 0.5% today. European markets are sliding back to near break-even. S&P futures are gaining 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
We're fashion retailers.
Wine wholesalers.
A surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners.
To fuel innovation and a new economy.
And to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at IBM.com/engines.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not bad from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where we garnish agents with the parsley of knowledge, and this is a pop quiz. Think fast. A questionably coordinated customer just collided with a vat of lard. Is your business covered for a slip and fall? If you're not sure, come talk to a farmer's agent and we'll help make sure your coverage is as slick as the porky goodness your customer slipped on in the first place.
If you want answers about business insurance, you want a farmer's agent. Find yours at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not...
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trubiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trubiano.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, the 31st day of July 2012, and a pleasure to be with you. We often talk about money and politics. Of course we do. How do you not? You can't separate them. You truly can't. And, of course, I have been wearing the moniker. In fact, my buddy Patrick Stagg gave me a shirt. On the back of it, it says, follow the money, because it is that is the direct path to explaining so much of what happens in politics. But the Sunlight Foundation, which is a nonpartisan nonprofit group that follows money in politics, is making it much easier to understand this than I ever will. In fact, we're going to tell you all about them in just a second. If you'd like to join us at any point throughout the hour today, feel free to do that to 888-552-3595. The email address, as always, tony@thetonyshow.org, and you can follow us or ask questions on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Let me turn my attention now to my next guest. Joining us is Bill Ellison. Bill is a veteran investigative reporter and editor. Bill is an editorial director for the Sunlight Foundation reporting and has spent the better part of his career reporting on lobbyist influence in Washington, campaign finance transparency, and earmarks. Through his blogging and journalist trainings, Bill sheds light on the growing influence of lobbyists working on behalf of foreign governments, federal contracting issues, and parsing data from personal financial disclosure forms. He has worked for a variety of print publications and online publications, and is here today to talk about the growing disparity between money and politics, between Republicans and Democrats. And Bill Ellison, I want to welcome you today from the Sunlight Foundation to First Shift.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
I've been meaning to have you folks on for a while. Before we get into some of the nitty-gritty details, we play that follow the money game. Tell this audience, let's educate them a little bit about who the Sunlight Foundation is and what they do.
Sure. We're founded about 6 years ago in Washington. We opened our doors in, I guess, April of 2006. And the idea of the organization is to use technology, the tools of investigative reporting, to kind of wed them together to give citizens access to in-depth information on members of Congress, on the federal government. We've branched out into states now and are even starting to look at foreign governments. And we've got a huge amount of talented web developers and designers and data manipulators who work with us. We have a great number of very talented journalists who work with them, using the data to try to get things out of it. We kind of view the reporting shop more as a demonstration shop than a news organization. What we try to do is show other reporters and the public what you can do if you start digging into this data. And we make everything available for free. We're a nonpartisan, nonprofit group, and we have a great time doing what we do.
All right. Now, with that said, there's a recent report, and certainly, you know, Bill, maybe we'll start this discussion by just talking about the impact. And of course, you've been doing this, you said, for 6 years. The impact of Citizens United. How has that changed the work that you're doing at the Sunlight Foundation?
Well, it's made us follow a whole new type of spending that, you know, it just didn't exist before, and that's, you know, the super PACs, the independent expenditure only committees. That can, you know, Citizens United, it allowed, I mean, it was Citizens United and a whole bunch of decisions that came after that, including one called SpeechNow versus FEC, which created super PACs. There were different FEC rulings that, you know, allowed, for example, candidates to align themselves with a super PAC by raising money for it. Super PACs are supposed to be entirely independent, and yet candidates can raise money for them because it's only supposed to be independent in how they spend money, not how they raise money. So it's created all of these new challenges, and I think the biggest is that Citizens United, remember, was a nonprofit group. I mean, the company or the organization involved in that case, they were a nonprofit group that did not disclose their donors, and they wanted to be able to, you know, influence elections. And the Supreme Court ruled that, you know, that it would be a violation of the First Amendment to prevent them from trying to influence elections. So now what we have is this whole kind of world of what we call dark money, where you have these organizations like Citizens United that can spend whatever they want influencing elections, and we have no idea who's behind them and who's giving them money.
Can we, though, clearly see that one party is benefiting more from the Citizens United decision and the super PAC decision than another political party?
Yeah, absolutely. And right now it's the Republicans have really kind of taken the lead on this. And they certainly did in 2010, and they're certainly doing it in 2012 in terms of how much they're spending and how much they're raising. You know, right now, if you look, Republican super PACs have raised more than $227 million. Democratic super PACs have raised less than $80 million, and this is all of them. This includes super PACs that, like, say, supported Rick Perry or Rick Santorum or some of the Republican candidates who dropped out. But that doesn't explain the huge disparity between what Republicans have been raising and spending, what Republican-aligned groups have been raising and spending, and what Democratic groups have been raising and spending. And this doesn't include groups like the Chamber of Commerce, which lean incredibly towards the right, and technically, and, you know, they're not a super PAC. They're a 501c6 business league. So if you added in kind of all of the outside money that leaned right, I mean, I think we see much more of that outside spending on the Republican side than on the Democratic side.
You know, it's interesting. And not only on this program, but I do quite a bit of public speaking, and I spend a lot of time in the community, and I tell people that are very concerned. A lot of people, and Bill, if you're not aware of this, I'll make you aware of it now. I'm an unashamed liberal Democrat, and happily wear that moniker. But I tell people that I speak to that are very concerned about money and politics that, you know, the one thing that they can't take away from us is get out the vote. We're never going to outraise them, and I think you've just proved that point, but we can out-hustle them.
I think that's true, and, you know, and the critical thing is, I mean, the voting is the key thing. I mean, it's the most important thing, and I think it's the thing that equalizes is the money, is that, you know, it doesn't matter how much money, you know, there have been incredibly well-financed candidates, and I'm thinking of Phil Graham back in 1996, who had more money than anybody early on, the Texas senator. He was the one behind the Glass-Steagall deregulation of the banks, and he had just raised, you know, huge amounts of money in the early going. He was in the money race, the far and away the front runner. He'd raised way more than Bob Dole. He'd raised way more than any other candidate, and he lost a Louisiana straw poll to Pat Buchanan because Pat Buchanan had really, really, really excited followers. I'm not saying that we should all be Pat Buchanan followers, but the point is it knocked him out of the race. I mean, you know, this relatively obscure event, because, you know, even with all of that money, he couldn't get people motivated to go out to the straw poll and vote for him. And I think the, you know, a larger lesson of this is that the one thing that balances the money is getting people to the polls.
Well, yeah, that's the whole idea of get out the vote. I was also interested to see, although certainly unions do have an influence, especially in Democratic politics, especially in local races, and I think especially in primary time, the money influence, especially in the general election, isn't nearly as remarkable as we've seen what's happened on the Republican side of the aisle. So if we want to compare business to labor, business is head and shoulders leading the money race there.
Absolutely. And business groups, you know, by far outnumber labor groups. I mean, though, one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, business groups are not all, you know, ideologically aligned all the time. You know, there's battles right now between, you know, in the energy field, between natural gas and coal companies, and automakers can be sometimes work together, sometimes work apart. So it's not as if, you know, every business dollar spent is all in the same direction on every issue. But that being said, I mean, it hugely outweighs union spending. Unions, though, I mean, the big advantage that unions have is that they actually have people, and they have, you know, members. They can do the get out the vote. I think that's like, just to echo your earlier point, I think that's one of the big factors that makes unions so effective. It is not so much the money they spend as it is that they have people who can man phone banks and volunteer and go door to door and canvass. And, you know, there's just a whole lot of different things that unions pay for. And what we're seeing on the right, though, now is attempts to set up institutions that will mirror that. And, you know, there was a story a while back in Politico about how Republican outside groups were going to spend, you know, they were calculating, you know, something like $1 billion plus what the RNC and the Romney campaign was going to raise, and it may be, you know, like $1.8 billion on the 2012 elections. But I think the thing that was most interesting for me is that there was the Koch brothers, I guess, were interviewed for this piece, or one of them, or one of their advisors, and said that their plan was to spend $395 million in the 2012 elections, but they weren't going to spend it on advertisements or television. They were going to be spending it on get out the vote and building infrastructure and the kinds of sophisticated networks that are so important in getting people to the polls. And we did see in Wisconsin where, Scott Walker did better in the recall than he did in the original election. Americans for Prosperity, which is a Koch-funded group, and they went door-to-door, and they did get-out-the-vote type activities.
And unfortunately, Bill, we're out of time, but there's no question that their get-out-the-vote effort, it's not a wake-up call to me. Anyway, thank you so much. Sunlightfoundation.com is the website. I do want to encourage people to check it out. Bill Ellison, thank you so much for being with us. We are up against the break. We'll take it and be back right after this.
With Tony Fox News contributor Michelle Malkin.
There's a very popular contrast of the difference between Romney and his supporters and Barack Obama and his supporters. The Romney types, of course, are the ones who sign the front of the paycheck, and the Obama types are the ones who've spent their entire lives signing the back of them.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your drive, let's head over to 94 westbound at Gratiot, where accident has your left shoulder blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from Harper Avenue. And they're in the clearing stages of that accident has your right lane blocked on Telegraph Road southbound, just after Long Lake Road. And we got some slow traffic on 696 westbound between 11 mile and 75. And it's a slow go on 75 southbound between 696 and 8 mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 84 with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, partly cloudy and 65. Tomorrow, sunny and 87 degrees, and it's currently 72 and rainy outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trippiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. I want to thank Bill Allison once again from the Sunlight Foundation. Folks, go check it out. This whole thing I preach, follow the money, it's all there. Just follow the money. You'll figure it out. You're smart, folks. Top of the hour, Jeff comes and finds me and says, you're not going to believe what happened with the Romney campaign in Poland. And I thought it was something different than what he told me. So here's, I'm just going to read. This is from the CNN political blog. It starts off, the traveling press secretary for Mitt Romney lost his cool and cursed at reporters who attempted to ask questions of the Republican presidential candidate in a public plaza near the tomb of the unknown soldier in Warsaw, Poland, on Tuesday. After Romney paid his respects to Poland's war dead and shook hands with a small gathering of the nation's military veterans, the GOP contender walked approximately 100 yards away from the memorial as he chatted with the Warsaw mayor. As Romney made his way to the vehicle, reporters attempted to shout questions to the candidate. Now, let me remind you that Romney has stayed away from the press on this trip, or tried to stay away from, especially domestic press. When members of the press tried to ask Romney about some of the mishaps on his trip, his traveling press secretary, Rick Gorka, verbally dressed down reporters. Here's the transcript of the questions and Gorka's response. Some of this may not be suitable for children. CNN, Governor Romney, are you concerned about some of the mishaps on your trip? New York Times reporter yells, Governor Romney, do you have a statement for the Palestinians? Washington Post, what about your gaffes? New York Times again, Governor Romney, do you feel you have that your gaffes have overshadowed your foreign trip? CNN then yells, Governor Romney, just a few questions, sir. You haven't taken but three questions on this trip from the press. Gorka, the press secretary, says, show some respect. New York Times reporter, I haven't had another chance to ask a question. Gorka says, kiss my ass. This is a holy site for the Polish people. Show some respect. Moments later, Gorka told Jonathan Martin, reporter for Politico, to shove it. But a half an hour later, the aide called reporters to apologize. Gorka's comments to the media came just hours before Romney's foreign policy speech in Warsaw. Aides to the GOP candidate say Romney visited Poland to highlight the nation's growing economy and honor its contributions to the war in Afghanistan. Can we guess that maybe there were other reasons? So that his press secretary could make an ass of himself? How are you going to say, this is a holy site, kiss my ass? And irony is not even the right word there. A stupidity might be the right word there, but irony would not be the right word there. This campaign, if it can find a way to mess up, it messes up, doesn't it? But I know you Republicans are feeling so good about this guy. So good. That's right. Go ahead and tell me. But Obama can't do this without a teleprompter. And Obama said this 16 years ago. Or when Obama was 11, he did that. You can't, trust me, folks, there's no way you can justify the foibles of Willard Romney. He's an embarrassment. The guy is really just an embarrassment. I feel bad for you. I truly do. I'm just hoping that the rest of America wakes up like the Democrats obviously see what's going on and they wouldn't touch this guy with a 10-foot pole.
How many people do you think will say, well, that's an aide, though? It's not Mitt Romney himself. It's the aide.
Oh, God, Jeff. Unfortunately, you're right. And it's ridiculous because if it were an Obama aide, then, you know, unless, you know, I'm sure we're going to get, well, you know, Robert Gibbs said one time, or when George Stephanopoulos worked for President Clinton, he said this. Yeah, we're going to get him.
When it's somebody like that, they say it's the Obama administration, but they make sure that you put Obama in front of that. But, you know, what's funny is I've, you know, how many times have we had this, like the Etch-a-Sketch thing? Well, no, that was an aide. That wasn't Romney. Romney actually thinks it's this. Or when, there's been a bunch of them where it's like the aides say one thing. Or when the guy came out and said, Romney doesn't think that the healthcare thing is a tax.
Mm-hmm.
And then Romney, of course, what I say is this. So that way they cover both ends of it. You know, they sit on both sides of the fence. Well, no, the aide was right and Mitt misspoke or whatever. I mean, but how many times does he have to apologize for his own aides?
Oh, I don't know, because he's not done. And I don't think he's going to be done until after the election. If this is what we can expect from a Romney White House, can you imagine? I'm just saying, can you imagine if this is what we can expect, what it's going to be like? This is really embarrassing. I'm not saying the Obama administration's perfect. I'm not saying that all of his spokespeople are perfect. They're not. But it just seems like every single issue that the Romney campaign deals with, they either get it wrong or they have to deflect it or they do what you just said. They spin it one way and say, well, no, that was the aide that said that. That wasn't the nominee, or he's not the nominee yet, but you understand what I'm saying. It's bad. Willard, you got to get it under control. Jeff, I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to reiterate something I talked about yesterday, which is this idea that even Republicans are not comfortable with Mitt Romney. Just we played the audio earlier of Karl Rove saying, you know, Romney's making mistakes. Dick Cheney talked about, you know, Romney not getting it right or having the opportunity to get it right. I didn't hear much optimism in his voice. You know, that's really another part of the problem is that even in the stuff where he hasn't yet to make a decision, trust me, this vice presidential choice, it will say volumes about who Mitt Romney is and what we can expect from him.
You know what's funny is that we played a clip of, I can't remember who it was, but they said, no, don't worry. This Mitt Romney thing where he questioned London's readiness for the Olympics, that'll be over and forgotten with. It won't even be that big of a deal compared to what happens on the rest of his trip. And I think he was thinking optimistically.
Yeah.
But now we know that the gaps are piling up, and that's why you'll forget that he questioned London's readiness.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Yeah, who would have thought that it kept getting worse? And then you and I were talking during the top of the hour break, And there was that whole controversy yesterday where Lech Walesa supports Mitt Romney, the union that Lech Walesa, of course, made infamous, said, no, we're going to stand with our American brothers and sisters in the AFL-CIO and support Barack Obama. This is embarrassing. This has got to be embarrassing for Romney. And I'll, you know, as again, Jeff and I were talking at the top of the hour, as I've said to you folks before, you know, be mindful that when Barack Obama did his European tour, he was a rock star. Everywhere he went, hundreds of thousands of people showed up to see, just to see him. Just to see him. All right. State Rep. Diane Slavens, when we continue, does she have the answer to what ails us politically, especially as it comes to our elections? Let's hope so, because somebody's got to start cleaning this up. I think she has some suggestions, certainly worthy of your time and energy. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. We'll continue right after we do this on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, let's head over to 94 westbound at Gratiot, where we got that accident that has your shoulder blocked. It's causing slow traffic from Harper Avenue, but they are in the clearing stages there. Also on 94 westbound at Rawsonville Road, reports of a construction barrier in the left lane, so use some caution there. And we got traffic signals flashing red in all directions. That's on Grosbeck Highway at Elizabeth Road, so please treat that as a four-way stop. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 84 with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, partly cloudy and 65. Tomorrow, sunny and 87 degrees, and it's currently 72 and rainy outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The American Federation of Teachers Conference has adopted resolutions to address the ongoing economic crisis while confronting the attacks on public workers. Jesse Russell reports.
At the National Conference for the American Federation of Teachers last week, the union passed a number of resolutions intended to highlight the union's commitment to education and community. One of the strongest resolutions was targeted at what the AFT calls America's fixation on high-stakes testing. AFT President Randy Weingarten said a focus on such testing forces educators to teach to the test. She said it also forces districts to put more funding into subjects that might help students in taking math and reading tests, but neglect the arts, sports, social studies, and science. Delegates attending the convention also adopted resolutions that reinforce the union's commitment to helping get the country back to work, address the issue of income equality, and focus on building the decaying middle class. Weingarten said the solutions adopted at the conference address the deep economic pain our families and communities face, confront the attacks on services educators and other public workers provide, and rebuild the middle class.
Utility workers Local 1-2 members in New York City will now be deciding whether to approve the tentative agreement ending the Con Ed lockout there. Con Ed says it has suspended the lockout, awaiting the ratification vote. The utility locked out the workers about a month ago after demanding concessions that included an end to defined benefit pensions for new hires. The lockout ended after intervention from New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Since details of the tentative agreement haven't yet been publicly released, it's not clear whether the union successfully defended pensions. The Teamsters say with no raises in 5 years, some Republic Airlines pilots now qualify for food stamps. The Teamsters, a longtime Republic Airlines shareholder, are calling for independent board leadership as Republic holds its annual shareholders meeting Wednesday in New York City. Teamsters Secretary Treasurer Ken Hall says Republic has antagonized customers, squandered cash, and undermined its core regional business. The union warns that Republic pilots could soon strike over a host of issues. Flight attendants and machinists at the airline have had their contract negotiations delayed, so pilots, flight attendants, and machinists will picket at the shareholders' meeting on Wednesday. The anti-union National Right to Work Foundation is challenging President Obama's recent recess appointments to the National Labor Relations Board. The group filed a legal challenge in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. The anti-union group is arguing that the NLRB appointments are unconstitutional, claiming the U.S. Senate was not technically in recess when Obama made the Labor Board appointments. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock. Good morning to you. I want to turn my attention right away to my next guest because we have an important discussion to have. One of the most respected, and certainly somebody I respect a great deal in the state house, is Democrat Diane Slavens from Canton. Diane, along with the Democratic caucus, have announced a series of reforms to deal with election reform and election fraud, especially in light of what happened with the Speaker of the House, Jace Bulger, and former Democrat turncoat Roy Schmidt. Something needed to be done. The question is, will the Republicans embrace this common sense change? Last week, Representative Slavens had a press conference. Unfortunately, we weren't able to cover it at that time as we were very busy with the AFT convention, but she agreed to join us this morning to talk about a series of bills and a constitutional amendment. And Representative Slavens, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for giving us some time this morning.
Well, good morning, Tony, and thank you so much for inviting me onto your show.
Well, it is. It's truly my pleasure. You know, we're going through some incredibly difficult times, and there's no question, not just economically, but politically. And we see what's happening. Some of us are getting, it's getting to the point, and I know you're seeing this. You're up for re-election. You're knocking a lot of doors. So you're spending a lot of time with constituents. And I've got to imagine that they're reaching out to you, Representative Slavens, and they're saying, isn't there something we can do to hold some of these folks accountable?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, I have been getting numerous phone calls and emails from constituents asking for the speaker to step down. As you probably know by now, a few weeks ago, the Kent County prosecutor issued a report that found the Republican House Speaker Jace Bulger and Representative Roy Schmidt colluded to attempt to rig an election. Their scheme included a 22-year-old family friend who didn't even live in the district the day before the filing deadline and signed a fake so Representative Schmidt had set up to get a fake Democrat challenger in exchange for agreeing to stay on the ballot and not run a real campaign. Representative Schmidt offered to pay up to $2,000 from his campaign fund to the 20-year-old young man and also to his son who helped set this up. When the prosecutor uncovered the text messages between Speaker Bulger and Representative Schmidt that clearly showed the two were working together to rob the 90,000 people in his district of a fair election, he found nothing in Michigan election law that prohibited their behavior. Even though he didn't press charges, the prosecutor, who himself is a Republican, did call Speaker Bulger and Representative Schmidt's action a travesty, and he urged the legislature to close some loopholes in election law that would allow Speaker Bulger and Representative Schmidt, to have to step down. And we actually introduced in January a package of bills to do just that. And unfortunately, the speaker has not allowed those bills to be heard in the committee to be brought onto the House floor to vote on. And that's one thing I tell my constituents all the time. The speaker has a huge role in the legislature. He's the one who picks and chooses when we're going to vote on a bill, where those bills initially started in committee. And with these unethical actions that he has done is truly concerning. You have to wonder what else has happened behind the scenes.
Well, you know, and Diane, this is really frustrating. I would imagine as a lawmaker, it's very frustrating when you have something in place. I was thinking aloud because, in fact, you and I talked about these proposed bills back in late January, the last time we had you on the show. And what I find interesting about this is you have to wonder. Now, we don't know when they began their discussions about switching parties, but you have to wonder, did he put off allowing that to be introduced, knowing full well that he would end up having to pay a very steep price for what he had planned to do?
Exactly, exactly. There's a lot of questions, and so, like I say, I am having constituents email and phone call me, and even as I'm at the doors, people are beginning to question this as it's becoming, the papers and the radios are talking more and more about this. And people in my community, just throughout the great state of Michigan, they're concerned about school funding. They're concerned about jobs. You know, they're concerned about making ends meet and for their families. The last thing they want to do is worry about ethics up in Lansing.
Well, you know, it's clear to me, and I think it's clear to you and to most people, that there does need to be some accountability. So let's talk about what these bills and this constitutional amendment would actually do, Diane.
Sure, sure. Well, a couple of things, ending the revolving door between the legislature and the lobbyists. We have a 2-year cooling off period. Right now, since we have term limits, often once someone is termed out, they look at becoming a lobbyist. And there are questions there because once you leave office and you start working for, I'm not going to name any companies, but how did you vote your last year in office? Were you voting for your constituents or were you voting to get that job as a lobbyist? Another one is just disclosing our financial dealings so the public knows when the legislatures are voting on bills that benefit themselves. Docking our pay, another thing. A lot of my colleagues don't show up to vote, and so we need to make sure that they're not getting paid if they're not there. Ending the pay-to-play culture that allows campaign donors to receive large state contracts, another huge issue. And then increasing the fines for election fraud. Right now it's $1,000, bumping it up to $10,000. Giving the last-minute party switching, if that happens, allowing the filing date to extend 14 days to give the party a chance to find someone to run for that seat who's would be a good legislature. Then requiring candidates to live in the district for 60 days before running for office. You don't want people moving into your community like, well, Representative Schmidt's son's friend who moved in that day that he ran for office. And then returning campaign contributions following a party switch for one calendar year backwards. Representative Schmidt, many of us were helping him with fundraisers, on the weekends going knocking doors for him. He was worried he'd lose his seat. He raised a lot of money, and if this bill was in effect, he would have had to turn in all the money he raised 1 year prior to switching parties.
You know, let me ask you, there has been a rumor that you had lunch with Roy Schmidt literally a day or two before he made his switch and that he never intimated to you in any way, shape, or form that he was going to switch parties. Is there any truth to that rumor?
Yeah, let me tell you, I have a constituent in my district who she sells solar panels, and she was very interested. She's got a wonderful idea, and I had thought since Representative Schmidt was minority chair of energy and technology, I thought it would be great for her to sit down with him and we could talk a little bit about her ideas. And it happened to be the day that he stepped down. So I was so shocked when I drove home that night and my staff called me and said he had switched parties because all of us had worked quite well with Roy. We didn't know he was unhappy or anything. And he seemed very interested in my constituents' idea. And it was literally that day. In fact, at 1 o'clock we had caucus. So I had said, you know, we need to go on to caucus. And he said, I have to run back to my office. And, so I ran to caucus. So I had, No idea at all.
And I would imagine at some level you had to have felt betrayed. I mean, to be that close to him that soon before this happened, for him not to say anything to you, I don't know, that's just very misleading. You know what, Representative Savins, let me ask you before we have to let you go, with regard to this series of bills and this constitutional amendment, are the Republicans now responding to this, or are they, because they ultimately, they control the agenda. And crazy thing, it's the speaker himself that makes the decision what you discuss in committee and what you don't. Any movement on these bills?
You know, not yet, and we're not in, we are not back until mid-August again, and at that time, I'm going to be walking around to the other side of the floor, pushing to make sure that we get this legislation heard in committee and then pushed out on the floor. I would think the pressure after all of this is the speaker, I would imagine, would feel the pressure to do just that, but we'll see.
Well, nothing will surprise us, unfortunately, if he doesn't do it. I want to thank you so much for your time this morning. My best to your husband, Mark, please.
Okay, thank you very much, Tony.
You bet. State Representative Diane Slavens, this is something that we're going to continue to keep an eye on, folks. As you know, this is something that's important to all of us, no matter what your political stripes might be. A quick break here. We'll be open lines on the other side. 888-552-3595. First Shift continues right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
This is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'm running for re-election in the 14th District. Other communities in this new district, like Pontiac, Southfield, and Oak Park, already know my passion for serving. They know my track record of getting things done, like helping President Obama pass the health care bill and save the auto industry. They know that I also helped create nearly 3,500 jobs in our area. And while I may not be from Detroit, the fights I've led in Congress have benefited struggling families across this city. That's why this message is for you, Detroit. I firmly believe that our region will never be successful without a vibrant city of Detroit. If you vote for me, I commit to you that no other candidate will ever outwork me and that no other community will ever outweigh you. I'm asking for the honor of serving you in the new 14th Congressional District, and more importantly, I'm asking for your vote. I'm Gary Peters, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Trupiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to think, let's just for a moment, seriously, for a moment, let's set aside our differences and ask ourselves what I think is a pretty obvious question. Do we want fairness in the process? I'm not so sure that we do. I don't believe that we all want fairness. And I'm going to say that that's true on both sides, but for different reasons. Conservatives don't want fairness because they want to win at all costs. Liberals don't want fairness because they're tired of losing. It's just the truth. Ultimately, people of a more liberal stripe believe that when they are in control, that they are more fair. And I'm not going to disagree with that. I believe that they are fundamentally more fair. They measure and weigh things in a more fair manner. I truly do believe that. But when we listen to what Representative Diane Slavens is saying, when we think about what Representative Jay Spolger, Speaker of the House, has done, we look at what Representative Roy Schmidt did and how he responded and reacted to it. As we take a look at what's happening at the federal level, we take a look at what's happening in the Senate, both at the federal and the state level. I could go on and on and on. The question we need to ask ourselves is, do we want fairness? And if we don't, we don't. Then why bother? Then why have the country that we have? I don't know how we guarantee fairness. I don't know that I know the answer to that. I just don't know that I know the answer to that. But I do know not everybody believes what I believe. I do know that to be true. In fact, Jeff had found some audio. Was this Rush Limbaugh audio fairly recent, Jeff? To your knowledge?
Yeah, I would assume so, yeah.
Okay. Just 29 seconds, folks. Listen to what Rush Limbaugh had to say.
99 days, folks. 99 days. Count them. 99 days before the election. If you are a welfare recipient, that's just a little more than three checks. Maybe we shouldn't remind people. Well, yeah, it's new, and they're up. We shouldn't remind people on welfare when the election is. That may not be something we want to actually do.
I'm sorry. Is anybody else offended by that? I mean, am I the only one that's offended by that? This idea, folks, this idea that people are on assistance because they want to be, oh, sure there are, so don't lecture me about that. But the majority, the vast majority of people do not want to be on assistance. I get so disgusted by that kind of attitude. How is it that somebody as despicable as Rush Limbaugh, as literally as disgusting, as racist a human being as he is, as discriminatory and influential as that drug addict is, how is it that he has the power that he has? Who gave him that power? Do you understand that it's his listeners? You see, when you have money and you have influence, you can buy influence. Folks, the reason that Rush Limbaugh is successful is somebody was able to buy their way into the markets that he's in initially. And it wasn't that he is that great a broadcaster. He's not bad, don't get me wrong. and I've said before, and I'll say it again, am I jealous? Hell yes, I'm jealous. Would love to have the audience he has. Would love to make the kind of money that he makes. I'll never, in a couple lifetimes, never see the kind of money he makes in a month, let alone in a career. And the very station that broadcasts this program owns the Rush Limbaugh Show. I'm well aware of that, I assure you. But he has based an entire career on hate. Pure and simple hatred, and I don't get it. I don't get how lies and hate make somebody a multi-millionaire. He has become a multimedia star. Everywhere you look, you can find Rush Limbaugh. Everywhere you turn, he's there. And he's built an entire empire. An empire is the right word. He owns his own homes, his own planes, his own everything. He comes and goes as he pleases. I'm sure he gets his 8 or 10 weeks a year off. I can't imagine. Listen, I've worked the shift that he works. There is no easier shift in radio. Now, no disrespect. You still have to work hard. But you see, you don't have to work hard to do what he does. Because he lies. Nothing that he says is based on truth. In fact, I would suggest, because he's been around longer than Fox News. So I'm going to suggest that Fox News patterned their news broadcast after his very show. They saw how successful conservative lying was, that they thought, well, he can do this and have 13, 14 million listeners. We can do it and have that, you know, we can have a whole lot, you know, we can have that many listeners as well. In fact, Rush Limbaugh has more listeners than Fox News has viewers. Are you aware of that? Yeah, I'm not joking. And then these folks end up calling themselves ditto heads. I don't know. I don't want any of you to listen. I don't mind if you agree with me, but I don't want you to be a ditto. Ditto, 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 ditto. It's old. Folks, I've listened to Rush Limbaugh. It's not like I don't know what I'm talking about. I've listened to the guy. He is nothing but an ass. He is one huge talking ass. And 99% of everything that comes out of his mouth is based in racism and hatred. He loves being a white, wealthy male. Loves it. All right. Stephen Monroe joins us now. Steve, it's all about you, buddy. Good morning.
Well, I don't know if it's all about me, Tony. I listen to Rush, too. He's bombastic, and he's over the top, and I'd say he's arrogant. But, he built this. He's been doing this for, close to 40 years. I mean, it didn't all of a sudden become successful. He built it. He connected with an audience that,
That's not entirely true. I know his story a little bit more intimately than you do. A lot of what he did was purchased for him by a very wealthy man out of Kansas City. They he was a sportscaster originally. You're aware of that, right?
Right. He was a sportsman in Kansas City. Yeah, I know that. I know that.
All right. So a very wealthy man decided to invest in him. In fact, not that man, but one of his very close associates approached me early on in my career and said that if I was willing to go to the other side, that they would make me extremely wealthy. I don't know if I regret that to this day or not, Steve. I really don't. I don't make a ton of money, dude. I mean, I make a nice living, but I certainly don't make. And in fact, Rush Limbaugh probably tips out more in a year than I make. So
yeah, but I mean, look, he got the interest of people that got money because they obviously seen something in him that thought they'd get a good return on their investment.
Absolutely. They saw a guy that could convincingly lie. That's what they saw. Steve, thanks. We got to take a break for the top of the hour. Chris Mihalakis on the other side. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, let's head over to 94 westbound at Gratiot, where we got that accident that has your shoulder blocked, causing slow traffic from Harper Avenue, but they are in the clearing stages there. Also on 94 westbound at Rawsonville Road, reports of a construction barrier are in the left lane, so use some caution there. And we got traffic signals flashing red in all directions. That's on Grosbeck Highway at Elizabeth Road. So please treat that as a four-way stop. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 84 with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, partly cloudy and 65. Tomorrow, sunny and 87 degrees, and it's currently 72 and rainy outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikulaszewski. Record heat and drought is threatening crops across the country this summer. Farmers out trying to salvage what's left of this year's corn and soybean harvest. CNBC's Hampton Pearson.
USDA says just 24% of the corn crop is rated good to excellent, and 29% of soybeans, the worst rating since 1988. Traders also worrying hot and dry weather could further harm crop conditions.
Fighting in Syria's largest city of Aleppo has stretched into its 11th day amid growing international condemnation of the Syrian government. The UN has estimated now that 200,000 people have fled the city during the fighting. And a report from Republican congressional investigators due out today concludes that five top ATF officials are responsible for the botched Fast and Furious gun tracking operation. The Los Angeles Times obtained a copy of the final report, which contends that Fast and Furious was marred by missteps, poor judgment, and inherent reckless strategy. This is NBC News Radio. Officials in northeastern India say a third power grid has now collapsed. Now more than half of India is without electricity. Yesterday's blackout of the northern grid left about 370 million people without power. Today's failures leave more than 600 million without electricity. A doping controversy has surfaced at the Olympic Summer Games in London after a Chinese swimmer won the women's 400-meter individual medley. NBC's Chris Jensing.
Chinese teenager Ye Xi Wen was so fast in the freestyle leg, she not only won the gold, she posted a better time in the final 50 meters than even Ryan Lochte in his gold medal swim in the same event.
Mitt Romney is praising the people of Poland and asking them to stand in solidarity with America. Romney says he and other Americans are inspired by Poland's opposition to a government-dominated economy. The nation's central bank begins a two-day meeting today. The Fed Reserve has indicated it will keep interest rates exceptionally low until late 2014. I'm Jim Mikulaszewski, NBC News Radio.
Here's Jungle Jack Hanna for Cosequin.
Some of the animals I love the most are in my own backyard. So it really broke our hearts when our dog Tasha had trouble getting around. But now, thanks to Cosequin, she's back to her old self.
For dogs, cats, and horses, trust Cosequin, the number one vet-recommended brand of joint health supplements the Hannas rely on.
Tasha may not run like a cheetah, but with Cosequin, she's a heck of a lot faster than me.
Cosequin, available from veterinarians. And for retail locations, visit Cosequin.com.
Don't let dirty oil wreak havoc on your vehicle's engine. Clean it up with Quaker State Conventional Motor Oil on sale for $2.99 a quart at O'Reilly Auto Parts, along with specially priced oil change kits for $5. Everything you need to make changing your oil quick and easy. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For retailers, right now isn't the most wonderful time of the year, but it is the most wonderful time of the summer. Back to school shopping. Ahead of the rush, Deloitte has a survey which finds 90% of parents with school-age kids plan to spend the same or more money on back-to-school stuff this year than last year. But the majority of those surveyed say it is not by choice. Prices, even for the most basic of basics, are higher. Earnings this hour, Pfizer, the world's biggest drug company, reporting higher than expected earnings and sales for the April through June quarter. The Fed Reserve begins a two-day meeting in D.C. this morning as economic signals suggest U.S. recovery has slowed to something not far from a crawl. Pressure is on policymakers to do something. Many analysts expect this meeting could yield a promise to keep interest rates at record lows longer, but maybe nothing more than that. Stock futures are gaining for the moment. S&P futures up 2, NASDAQ futures rising 8, Dow futures tacking on 24. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
We're fashion retailers,
wine wholesalers,
a surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners
to fuel innovation and the new economy,
and to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at IBM.com/engines.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where we garnish agents with the parsley of knowledge, and this is a pop quiz. Think fast. A questionably coordinated customer just collided with a vat of lard. Is your business covered for a slip and fall? If you're not sure, come talk to a Farmers agent, and we'll help make sure your coverage is as slick as the porky goodness your customer slipped on in the first place.
If you want answers about business insurance, you want a Farmers agent. Find yours at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Yes, I am ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano each and every morning from 6 to 9 a.m. All right, don't know why I'm doing a commercial there, but hey, it is what it is. Good Tuesday morning to you. It's the last day of July 2012 as we get ready to move on into August. Now, here's something to think about. August is traditionally the hottest month of the year. Based on the summer we've already had, and I can't remember the last time I could open the windows and get some fresh air in the house. Think about that. If this is going to be hotter than July was, well, then we're in for a doozy. And I'm okay with that, Jeff. I really am. AST. Jeff called me AST earlier, which stood for anti-summer Tony, and I am anything but anti-summer. I'm just pro-football. American football, by the way. But we'll come back and talk about that some other time. We've got a lot to get to in this hour, so we're going to get going. If you would, give me an intro and we'll take off.
First Shift welcomes back to our airwaves leadership that is unique.
It's no secret that collective bargaining in the public sector is under attack, and there has just been law after law completely restricting, telling unions and management what they can and cannot bargain on. And I think this is so ridiculous and such a violation of rights.
Here is Metro Detroit AFL-CIO president.
They should be allowed to negotiate on whatever they see fit for their workplace. It's not the responsibility of the legislature or the governor to impose their will into their negotiations.
Chris Mialakis.
And joining us now is the president himself, who spent some considerable time at the AFT convention on Saturday, which is where I ran into him as we were walking around just checking things out. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tony, thanks for having me, and I apologize for not being in studio, but I just realized we have a parade committee meeting this morning, and I got to get to that as soon as we're off the air here, and it's just a perfect excuse for me to remind everybody that come Labor Day, we'll be marching marching down Woodward, and your listeners should come and join us.
Yes, they absolutely should, and I'm happy to say we had a great turnout last year, and we need to beat it this year. So, and this is an election year. There's no reason why we can't beat last year's numbers, especially as we show solidarity working toward what will be just a few short weeks later, the election itself.
That's right. That's absolutely right. But back to what you were saying about the convention, that was just, you were right in the middle of it. That what a great event that was. I mean, you had thousands and thousands of teachers from all over the country. And what I love, Tony, is that they didn't just come for and do the typical convention things. Those teachers from all over America, they were out in the streets in protest with us, going door to door, canvassing communities. I heard they hit something like 5,000 doors in 1 hour. In just 1 hour. Can you imagine that? How much turf they covered. And it's just really great to see a group of people that came into town and really just like got in the middle of it and shared in our struggles and helped us out a great deal.
Now, not to mention, and let's just be honest about it, they spent some money downtown and in
sure.
some of the suburbs. That doesn't hurt. They, of course, got some national media attention as well, not just local and statewide. They got some
That's
national
right.
media attention. Vice President was in town on Sunday. Of course, you were there on Saturday speaking to the group, although I didn't have a chance to listen to your remarks, a couple people had interrupted us when we were walking to stop and thank you for what you had to say. So what did you have to say to the group, Chris?
Well, all I did, Tony, was I brought greetings and welcomed all the convention delegates to Detroit on behalf of the Central Labor Council, but also I thank them for the activism that they had already participated in and the activism that they were going to participate in later that day in that massive canvas that the teachers engaged in throughout the state and seemed to be pretty well received.
Now, an amazing group of people. I was fortunate enough to interview a handful of people, but especially throughout the weekend, not necessarily while I was broadcasting, but throughout the weekend, was able to meet a lot of teachers from not only all over the country, but all over the world, as there
right.
was an international contingent there as well, which is really exciting.
That's right.
Unfortunately, Chris, we found out that they struggle with the same issues and their education system as we struggle with here. A lot of it is political. A lot of it has to do with funding.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see, Tony. I mean, Reverend Bullock and I were joking, one time during his funeral for democracy, which we talked about on the air here a few months back, I said something, being a Greek American, I come from the land where democracy was born, and being a Detroiter, I'm in the land where democracy is dying, and talking about how this movement of austerity is not just limited to Detroit or to Michigan, but it is a global movement that where you see banks, it's the same old story, Tony. Banks made very, very, very risky loans at very, very high interest rates. And so, the rule of thumb in investment always becomes the higher the risk, the higher the reward. So banks not only reap the high rewards of these risky investments with their extremely high interest rates, but now are trying to eliminate any sort of risk and liability that they assumed when making investments, whether it's municipal float bonds in the city of Detroit and in the school system, or whether it's the amount of lending that went on to Greece and other countries in Europe, the pigs, as they like to call us, Portugal, Ireland, Greece, and Spain. These same banks made these same risky investments, and rather than take the hit as you're supposed to in a free market capitalistic society, they're trying to get bailed out, and this is just a global phenomenon, and it's interesting. The people that suffer a lot of times are local communities, local municipalities, and local school systems, and now we have national governments spending their money rather than investing in education. They're paying off these bad investments that the banks made in them and paying off interest rates and then sending money to financiers instead of the schools and investing in children.
Well, I read an article, the Sunday's paper, that there have been a lot of unsold out events at the Olympics in London, a lot of them,
yep.
and it's been kind of obvious, and there was a kind of a point counterpoint going on. Some wanted to blame it on the organization, and I think that the argument that really wins there is this really. Just kind of underscores the devastation of the global economy, and then I think that
sure.
that is much more a reflection of reality than how poorly organized the Olympics were. They knew for 8 years this was coming. I somehow, Chris, doubt that they forgot about ticket sales.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, and it's not just, you know, we tend to think of Europe. I mean, geographically, it's not much different than the U.S., and so you have a bunch of different countries in close proximity where flying into London, I mean, I can tell you, when I go home to visit my family in Greece, flying to London is like 80% of the ticket cost going from London to my island is next to nothing. And so, you know, you're talking a $200-$300 flight for most Europeans. And the fact that most Europeans are facing budget cuts and wage cuts and cuts in their benefits, they're just unable to attend the games. And it's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. Anyway, I'm sure we'll have plenty of chance to talk about that. You know, let me ask you quickly about the Olympics, because I'm sure you're one of those people that actually enjoys the Olympics. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Tell me, do you have a favorite event? We were talking about this on yesterday's show. In fact, Jeff asked me what mine was. I piggishly said women's volleyball, but hey, it is what it is. I'm just being honest. And then he was telling me because the weather's been cold, they were going to change the uniforms, and I said, don't worry, I have a very active imagination.
Well, you know, it kind of changes. Like, I always enjoy watching fencing. You know, I like the swimming and the athletics as much as the next. I used to throw shot put when I was a kid, so it's always fun to watch that. Olympic soccer is okay, but I prefer, you know, professional. I always like to use the Olympics as a chance to indulge in other sports, not some, you know, a sport like soccer that I get to watch all the time. And the other thing too, Tony, when the Olympics were in Athens in 2004, I couldn't stop watching Olympic rowing. And the reason for it was they were rowing in the Aegean, and it had, you know, the mountains as a backdrop, and it made me very homesick. So it tends to vary every election cycle.
Okay. Well, you know, Jeff, you said
election cycle. I'm sorry. Olympic cycle.
Well, actually, there's not a big difference between the election cycle and the Olympic cycle. So, you know, there's some. Jeff said his was boxing, and I forgot what the other one. So, anyway, but boxing for sure. All right, Christine.
But, you know, what's been funny about these Olympics, though, Tony, is Mitt Romney's trip. It seems like he's just going out of his way to just really anger every country.
And all he had to do was open his mouth and talk, Chris. He didn't even need to go out of his way. Imagine that. We've got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to look at some of the endorsements coming your way, courtesy of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO. We'll take the break, and we'll be back right after we do this on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, he's seen shot put, yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
As we head into your rush hour commute, let's go over to 696 westbound, just after Mound Road, where you have two separate accidents blocking both shoulders. You got two cars on your right shoulder and three cars on the left shoulder. Traffic signals are flashing red in all directions on Grosbeck Highway at Elizabeth Road. And also, we got slow traffic on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 84 with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, partly cloudy and 65. Tomorrow, sunny and 87 degrees. and it's currently 72 and rainy outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Tripiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour, Chris Mihalakis, my guest. He is president of the Michigan, or the Metro AFL-CIO. And Chris, we're not going to have time to go through all of the endorsements, but there are some that we'll take a look at, especially where there are primaries, and then some where like the DIA. And why don't we start there? Did you guys endorse that effort, by the way?
Absolutely. We are definitely in favor of voting for the DIA millage proposal, and we're proud to say that. It's we believe in investing in the arts, and it's a great educational resource for our community. And, you know, I personally just love spending time down there. And ever since I was a little kid, my mom used to work right across the street in the International Institute, and she used to take me in there all the time because I was obsessed with the knights and with the mummies. But even at an early age, it got me very interested in art and culture, and I think it's just a great, we really have a world-class institution downtown, and we're very happy to support the Institute of Arts, and we definitely encourage all of our constituents to support it and keep the institution running.
I did get a robocall for that the other day, I thought it was interesting. It was colorful. I did appreciate the effort that was made at creativity. It is the Detroit Institute of Arts, after all. Although I did get some interesting email over the weekend. As I'm sure you read, the DIA has spent upwards of including cash and in-kind donations, over $2 million in support of the initiative. And, of course, my emailers, both those conservative and those liberals, saying, where are they getting the money to do this? Well, I don't know where they're getting the money to do it, Chris, and I didn't have time to really search that out. But certainly it's in their best interest to promote the passage of this, because it is life or death for them.
Well, yeah, and honestly, Tony, I'm sure a lot of it came from donors that love the DIA as much as we do, people that, you know, invest in the institution on a regular basis. I'm sure tapping them for a little extra money to run this campaign was not very difficult. And, I mean, it is a cultural jewel. It's something that we can be proud of. And I think it's something, you know, it's good to know that despite our city's decline, we still have a world-class art institute. We have a world-class symphony. We have all sorts of world-class cultural events and facilities. And we definitely need to keep them going, because people don't realize the value by having those sorts of cultural institutions in your community. You keep a creative spirit alive, which, you know, in a city like Detroit, which has great art schools and big advertising firms and big design firms here, it's a necessity. It's something you need, that we need as part of our economy.
No, there's no question that's true. Let me ask, if you can, take us inside the world of endorsements, because I don't think people understand the challenges that are involved in endorsing a candidate. It's just not as simply as, I like that guy, we're going to endorse him, or I like right. that lady, we're going to endorse her. How do you guys go about deciding this?
Well, it's a multi-step process, Tony. First, candidates will request their intention, they'll request our endorsement. We don't just give it away to anyone. You got to want it first. And so we'll get all sorts of requests from all over every level of government. And I should add too, the Metro AFL-CIO, we only make endorsements for municipal and county level races. All state endorsements for state rep and for Congress and statewide office, those are all made at the state level. However, I can tell you, we do screen candidates for statewide office, for state representative, not statewide, I'm sorry. And so, we do, and then we make recommendations to the folks to the Michigan AFL-CIO. And, we had there are some big competitive races there. Rashida Tlaib and Maureen Stapleton. We recommended Tlaib and at our meeting, there was no doubt about it. We were all in favor of Rashida. And the other one was Leslie Ellis and John Sutulski. We recommended John Sutulski. And the state obviously endorsed John. I mean, those Rashida and John were just no-brainers. We were very proud to make those endorsements.
Which is not a bunch of baloney, by the way.
It's not a bunch of Leslie Ellis' campaign is a bunch of baloney.
Well, I want you to know that after we did that last week, she removed the link and she changed it so that if people clicked on what we had, they would get this message that said that it was no longer available. Well, I want to thank my friends at the Michigan Nurses Association who've refound it for me so that I could repost it, and they again turned around and changed it one more time. So if people don't think that people are listening to the show, think again.
Well, what you should do, Tony, is download it yourself and then re-upload it so she can't take it down. And what's that say about a candidate that, you know, this isn't like an attack ad that someone put out about her? This is something that she herself thought was a good idea.
Yeah, she created this herself. You're right.
You know, and the fact that her constituents and other political insiders are using her own ad as a way to mock her. I mean, what's that say about the kind of campaign she's running? And I'll be honest, Tony, her performance in the legislature has been equally confusing and bewildering. So I have no problem encouraging everyone to watch that video over and over again.
Very quickly, because we're going to run out of time, and I want to ask you, yeah. There were some races, and we don't need to get into the specific ones, where you either didn't endorse, and I'm talking about the countywide races, where you didn't endorse, or there's one that said defer to executive officers. What does that mean?
Well, there are some races. I believe if you check, well, first of all, Tony, I would encourage everyone, go to DetroitAFLCIO.org. That's DetroitAFLCIO.org. And then you click on the left-hand side, you'll see 2012 COPE. And that's where you can find all of our endorsements. And I believe we've updated it since you had a chance to look at it. In some races, there's no recommendation that comes out of, a lot of times two good candidates will both screen, or, you know, there'll be issues with votes coming up or recent votes, and then they'll defer to the executive officers to make a final decision, since, you know, sometimes waiting until the next board meeting or the next delegate body meeting will take us after the election, and it's no good then. As far as countywide races go, we've in Wayne County, we've endorsed Kathy Garrett, Betty Napoleon, Ray Watovich. You know, they've all been good to us. We've had good longstanding relationships with them. And in Oakland County, we've endorsed Andy Meisner, and then Kevin Holley for executive, Jessica Cooper for prosecutor, Lisa Brown for clerk, who's someone who's no stranger to this show. And in Macomb, we endorsed the incumbents, Wickersham for sheriff, Carmela Sabaw for clerk, and Ted Wiley for treasurer.
All right. Well, Chris, we're out of time for today. Do you have your executive board meeting next week?
2 weeks, I believe.
2 weeks, all right. Well, you know, at one point I'll actually get it right, but we'll figure it out. In the meantime, enjoy your, try to enjoy your parade meeting today. It's an important meeting, so we'll let you go off to that, and that's it for today. We'll be back, open lines after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Your rush hour commute is busy. Let's head over to 94 westbound at US 23, where you have an accident on the ramp to US 23 northbound. 696 westbound, just after Mound Road. Accident has your left shoulder blocked with stop and go traffic from Van Dyke. Eastbound 94 at Schaefer. Accident has your left lane blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from Greenfield Road. 96 eastbound at Warren Avenue. Accident has your left shoulder blocked. And don't know how this got out here, but we got reports of a barbecue grill that's on your roadway on 94 westbound, just before 8 Mile. So, of course, use some caution in that area. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 84 with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, partly cloudy and 65. Tomorrow, sunny and 87 degrees, and it's currently 72 and rainy outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Bizarrely, the CEOs of America's highly conglomerated news sources keep trying to jack up profits by shedding the editors and reporters who actually create their product. Not to worry, though, for a new breed of political editors has arisen to guide reporters. Who are these new, green-eye-shaded overseers of what's allowed in our daily dose of political news? The candidates and office holders whom the media supposedly cover. Yes, newspapers are outsourcing a key part of their political coverage to the coverees. For example, both Obama and Romney insist that their staffs be allowed to edit any interviews or quotations that are to appear in print. Holy Joseph Pulitzer! What reputable news source would ever agree to giving politicians the right to delete, rephrase, and otherwise sanitize their public comments? Answer? Bloomberg News, National Journal, New York Times, Politico, and, well, just about all that claim to be the legitimate press. The Romney campaign even requires reporters who interview any of Mitt's five sons to use only quotes censored by his press office. For these public figures to demand such Orwellian control is outrageous, but for the media to go along is disgraceful. It's not something I'm particularly proud of, says a National Journal reporter. Proud of? How about ashamed of? How about turning in your press pass? We don't like the practice, weasel the New York Times managing editor. How pathetic. If a powerhouse paper like the Times doesn't like it, then just refuse to do it. This is Jim Hightower saying, luckily, some, such as the National Journal, have now been embarrassed into finally saying no to this blatant censorship. To help stiffen the jello backbones of other so-called news sources, contact Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, www.fair.org.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Union. Solidarity. Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after the hour. My thanks again for Chris Mihalakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO. Appreciate you being with us this morning. And he's off to the Labor Day weekend parade meeting, where he is a central figure in that, and should be a good year. Like I said, last year we had a great turnout. This year we need to make it even bigger. So if you have not been to the parade in a while, you want to check it out, because I went last year, marched with UAW Local 174. Anticipate that I'll be marching with them again this year, although they haven't invited me. I'm hoping they will. So there, we're going to be open lines this half hour. If you care to join us, 888-552-3595. Again, 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. We had mentioned earlier on in the show that Mitt Romney's press secretary actually swore at a reporter. I thought that it might be fun to listen to the exchange. So, Jeff, if you're ready, we'll go ahead and listen to that.
Do you feel that your guests have overshadowed your foreign trip?
Sight of the four people. Show some respect. Show some respect.
We haven't had another chance to ask some questions.
This is a holy sight for the Polish people.
He said, kiss my ass. This is a holy sight. How the, I don't get it. And Jeff, I understand what you said earlier, that, you know, then Romney can just turn on and say, well, yeah, but it wasn't me. It was my press guy. So don't put it on me. Well, wait a minute. If that's the way we're going to measure what you do, then we have a problem, don't we? And Jeff, I'm ultimately responsible for what you do with regard to the show, right? I mean, so nobody's going to say, well, Jeff independently did that on his own. Don't blame Tony. Hell no. They're going to say Tony's fault. I'm not the president of anything. Well, that's not true. I'm the president of my own fan club, which is a club of one.
He sounds so frustrated in his voice.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
The funny thing is, though, the reporter, like, you listen to what she basically turns to him and is like, well, look, you know, very calmly. I mean, this is what she says. I mean, that sounds very, you know, calm and cool, collected. Yeah,
we didn't hear anything.
Oh, you didn't hear that? No. Oh, he must have turned it off.
We haven't had another chance to ask him questions.
Which is, Jeff, it's a fair assessment.
Right. And she's not yelling or screaming or getting upset. Yeah, he is so frustrated. He's like, oh, just kiss my, oh, you know what I mean?
So here's the question, and I'm just asking your opinion. Do you think that Romney has said, listen, I just don't want to answer these questions, so I don't care what they're at. I don't care how much they're pressuring you. I'm not going to talk to the press. You think that's what's going on?
I mean, oh yeah, there's got to be frustration among the everyone involved. So it basically boiled over, and he just let him have it.
All right, let's go to the phones. If you're Willard, you're obviously very embarrassed. You've basically pissed off all Palestinians. In fact, he didn't do much to help himself with Latinos as well, did he?
The explanation, that was unbelievable. By the way, LOL GOP, one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter. Hilarious, he said, because the Romney campaign just released an app, I guess, this morning, and so did Obama's people, apps for iPhones and what have you.
Right.
He just tweeted, cool, the Romney app just told me to kiss my ass, and I'm in church.
Let's go to the phones, 888-552-3595. Tom in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. What's on your mind?
Good. And good morning to Jeff as well. You know what, Tony? Can you imagine this guy being president in turn? Well, to me, he's already screwed up foreign relations. First of all, you go over to London, and you don't even know what they've done, okay? And you're going to sit there and say, well, you know, basically, and I'm paraphrasing that, you know, the security is suspect, okay? I mean, you don't walk into somebody's front room in their house and you turn around and say, well, God, you got a crappy looking house, okay? Now you go over to Israel and you step in a pile of dog do right there, and you know how dog do is, you can get it off your foot, but you can't get the smell off. And I mean, my wife said something about his wife in terms of what, you know, her comments. I said, you know what, I'm going to encourage these people to keep on talking because, I mean, every time they open their mouth up, you know, they put both feet in it.
There's no question. I'm telling you that it was somebody earlier, maybe it was Karl Rove early on in the process, you know, when he first took off his first couple hours in London, he said all he needed to do was keep his mouth shut.
Exactly. Just say, I'm here to have a nice time and you know, watch the Olympics. And then, you know, like, I remember the line from Taxi and Jim Ignatowski. He said something about, if you don't know what's going on, just talk about the weather and walk away.
There you go.
I mean, real simple. But, I mean, you know, this guy's over there, you know, I mean, he's fair weather. You know, he licks his finger and sticks it up in the air to see which way the wind's blowing. And, I mean, you know, he just... You know, he waves depending upon which way the breeze is going. I mean, this man would be a detriment to this country if he became president because, I mean, he would alienate so many, you know, of our allies, you know, just by this trip that he's taken. And when he got over there, when was it, Wednesday or Thursday, and he opened up his mouth and all hell seems to have broken loose, you know, ever since.
You know, it was funny, late last fall, Mitt Romney was going, I believe it was Ohio State-Wisconsin game, and both of them, their colors are red and white. And somebody asked him who he was going to root for, and he said, the red team. You know, that's just, you know, God forbid we wouldn't, you know, at least, you know, here, I'll give you an example. Tom, Michelle Obama, they asked her about, you know, who they thought was going to win the swimming. You know, was it going to be Michael Phelps or the other guy? And she said, I'm not going to answer that question. Are you kidding me? That's a political landmine. I'm not going to step on that one. What did Mitt Romney say? Oh, Michael Phelps is going to win. Michael Phelps, he's superior, far superior to anybody else. He's going to win. Well, guess who didn't win? Michael Phelps didn't win.
All you got to do is keep your mouth shut. But I encourage you to keep on talking. Please keep talking. I like what I'm hearing.
Tom, thank you so much as always, my friend. Enjoy your day. He's right, Jeff. He's right. If they just encourage Mitt Romney to keep on talking, and maybe they don't. Maybe the press doesn't need to ask questions. They just need to report like they're doing. Just need to report on what he's saying, because he's stepping in it every chance he gets. And notice, we get plenty of conservatives calling this show. They have been absent, totally absent throughout this whole European trip. How do you defend? How do you defend Mitt Romney? Don't know how you do. I can't. Don't need to. I mean, it's not about me anyway. I'm not going to defend him. Even if he was doing great, I wouldn't be defending him. I might be keeping my mouth shut. We might not be talking about it. Might. But I certainly wouldn't be defending him. So how do you defend this? I don't know that you can. All he had to do was keep his mouth shut. But that just tells you how ego-driven this guy is. Either that or how naive, and either way, you know, you can be very smart and naive at the same time. You're all aware of that, right? Some of you would suggest that's me. And you'd be wrong, but some of you would suggest that. I'm just telling you, I'm glad that I don't have to, defend Mitt Romney, because I wouldn't be able to. By the way, for those of you who are not aware, yesterday marked the 47th anniversary of Medicare and Medicaid, the most successful government program ever created. Medicare and Medicaid helped deliver health care to especially seniors in this country 47 years ago that were literally dying for lack of access to health care. And we certainly should take a moment and not a moment of silence. That would be silly. We should take a moment and remember the importance of Medicare and Medicaid. And frankly, if we would just expand that to everybody, because that is the universal care we're looking for, we would be done and this would be over with. And how many of you, show of hands, how many of you are aware that Medicare and Medicaid was supposed to be a national program? They never finished dotting the I's and crossing the T's. But it's okay. We do want to congratulate, again, what is non-arguably, I would say, the most successful government program ever created. Maybe only first only to Social Security, which obviously lifted a lot of people out of poverty, barely out of poverty, but out of poverty nonetheless. And so we should be very proud of what we have accomplished in taking care of our own. We still have a lot more to do, but congratulations, 47 years of success with Medicare and Medicaid. And for those of you that want to say, but it's in the hole, and then, you know, folks, this is about taking care of people. It's about taking care. We've got to do, and we've got to do a better job about taking care of our own. Truly, we do. All right, a quick break here. We'll wrap it up on the other side. Feel free to give us a call. Absolutely. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Democratic National Convention. They are solidifying the speakers. I'm excited. Anthony and I will be taking off Labor Day weekend. To cover the convention and some of the speakers again falling into place, so we'll tell you who they are when we continue here on First Shift. But give us a call. We're open lines at the top of the hour. First Shift will continue right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. I am so upset that I think the Olympic Committee should be ashamed of themselves. I think they should be embarrassed. I think they should take all the uniforms, put them in a big pile, and burn them and start all over again.
On 1310 WDTW, this is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters, and I'm running for re-election in the 14th District. Other communities in this new district, like Pontiac, Southfield, and Oak Park, already know my passion for serving. They know my track record of getting things done, like helping President Obama pass the health care bill and save the auto industry. They know that I also helped create nearly 3,500 jobs in our area. And while I may not be from Detroit, the fights I've led in Congress have benefited struggling families across this city. That's why this message is for you, Detroit. I firmly believe that our region will never be successful without a vibrant city of Detroit. If you vote for me, I commit to you that no other candidate will ever outwork me, and that no other community will ever outweigh you. I'm asking for the honor of serving you in the new 14th Congressional District, and more importantly, I'm asking for your vote. I'm Gary Peters, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Peters for Congress.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
And Mitt Romney said yesterday that President Obama's comment about businesses not building things themselves wasn't a gaffe, it's his philosophy. Is Fox News the one that bastardized the quote? Is that where the origin of this is?
Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we have that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Stephen Monroe.
He wants to give credit to government. The government plays a super role.
It does play a super role. What the hell is wrong with you, Steve? You hang up the phone. Sweet God. Government doesn't play a role. Where would we be without government? Where would we be without government? Where would we be without liberals? What is wrong with you? There's a sickness in this country, an absolute sickness called conservatism. Republicanism is a mental illness. I'm convinced of it.
First Shift with Tony on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
I'm spending a lot of time reading during the break, and a couple articles, totally different perspectives, start off with, it turns out that Mitt Romney's trip could actually get worse, and obviously it does. Oh, my, oh, my. Libby sends me a note, says, from the Associated Press, Obama releases $70 million in additional military funding for Israel. It was previously announced in May that the U.S. would be releasing an additional $70 million in military aid for Israel, and they have accelerated that and have sent that money. She asked if I would announce that. So, indeed, I have, and we are now going to go to the phones. And, Libby, I appreciate you listening to the show. I truly do. Although Libby and I don't always agree on everything, we agree that we're working together, we can accomplish something. And so I appreciate that. Dawn in Pontiac joins us now. Dawn, thank you so much for giving us a call. What's on your mind?
First-time caller. I listen to your show every morning on my way into work.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You do a wonderful job. I just would like to make a comment. Isn't it campaign season for Mitt Romney? And why is he overseas when he should be here in the States campaigning?
Well, you know, I'm sure he's really asking himself that question today, Dawn. You know, in all fairness, President Obama did the very similar thing 4 years ago when he ran. The difference was he was received as a rock star everywhere he went. Hundreds of thousands of people showed up to listen to him talk. He sounded.
That's because he's a very intelligent man.
No question, Dawn. That's true. And so, Mitt Romney says that he went because he was invited. Well, maybe that's true, but I don't know that they invited him to make an ass out of himself, which is what he's done.
Exactly. I just can't believe. Every time I listen to him talk, it's just unbelievable.
You and I couldn't agree anymore. Dawn, thanks for the nice words about the show, and thanks for giving us a call this morning. I truly do appreciate it. Yeah, she's right. It's embarrassing. And that's just it. You know, we thought, and he was, I was going to say, we thought George W. Bush was bad. George W. Bush was bad. And I'm not saying that Mitt Romney is worse or would be worse, but come on, folks. Scary stuff. Scary stuff. Okay, so Democratic National Convention is the week after Labor Day. So the Republican Convention's the week before Labor Day. Now I'm sitting here thinking I'm not going to be here for the parade. I'm going to be in Charlotte because we're actually leaving the day before the parade. Oh, my. Okay, well, you know, we'll send Jeff in my stead. And Jeff's going, no, we will not. Anyway, Bill Clinton is going to be a headliner at the convention. In fact, the vice president, of course, will be speaking. Bill Clinton will be speaking. Elizabeth Warren will be speaking. The mayor of San Antonio, Castro, will be speaking. They've got an amazing lineup of folks that are going to be speaking at the Democratic National Convention, and I'm very, very excited for that. I don't anticipate, and I told Anthony this, I don't anticipate that we're going to get a lot of rest while we're there, but I'm okay with that because when you are doing something that is a part of history, which is what we will be doing, how do you go, but I need my rest? Not going to do it. Not going to worry about it. I'm very excited. Can't wait to go. I mean, we got a while yet. We've got a solid month, but I'm very much looking forward to going. Everything's in place. We're as good as there. And I'm excited to be able to bring the convention to you folks on a daily basis. We'll be broadcasting there Mondays and holidays, so we won't be broadcasting on Monday. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, Friday will be the day after the convention's over. And so I would imagine that we'll be, as we're doing our wrap-up, but, you know, we're working on getting credentials for all the speeches because you got to get tickets to all this stuff. And it's not as simple as it sounds because there are lots of people that want to be at everything. And, of course, not everybody can be at everything at every time, but it should be fun. All right. I'm gonna leave you today with a story that I think Jeff sent this to me. I'm pretty sure he did, but it crossed my path yesterday. I posted it to the Facebook page, and I wanted to tell you, because Joe DeSano originally brought this to our attention a year ago. The state was upgrading, and the Secretary of State's office updating its computerized system, spending some $50 million. And it's taken a decade to do this. Now, at the time when the state was purchasing this stuff, John Engler wasn't the governor. He was working at EDS. And sure enough, he got that nice $50 million contract for the state. Terry Lynn Land, the former Secretary of State, has decided that she is not going to worry about it. After she allowed this to basically wither and die on the vine, and the way she did that was by ignoring all of the problems there were with it and not doing anything about it, she walks away. She is, term limited. Ruth Johnson is elected. And according to Tim Skubick, who I lose more and more respect for every single week, claims that Ruth Johnson's cleaning up this mess. But I will say this, Terry Lynn Land, and I want to just read you the very end of this article. It says, Land says she considered ending the deal and starting over, but each time the new contractor came into the picture, they promised they could do the work. So much for promises. The state is now negotiating for damages and does not have a completion date. As for Ms. Land, she said that she's not read the auditor's work and doubts she will. Quoting Terry Lynn Land, it's Ruth's gig now, she glibly suggests. Well, isn't it nice to know that after you are no longer receiving your government paycheck, you wench, that you turn around and you treat it the way you treated it? These are our tax dollars, including yours, Terry Lynn Land, that are being wasted. You would think that you would have some responsibility and an obligation to see that through, but apparently you don't see it that way. Shame on you. Former Secretary of State, shame on you indeed. You don't care, and I'm going to suggest that maybe you never did. And it is what it is. All right, we're gonna wrap things up for today. If you want to get a real kick, go look on our Facebook page. On Facebook, if you just search First Shift. We also posted a story yesterday from Tim Skubick, and it says he's not exactly John Engler, but Governor Rick Snyder is converting doubters his way. Don't know why Skubick feels like he's got to permanently implant his lips on Snyder's rear end, but it seems that that's where they belong these days, and I don't get it. All right, with that said, and I probably should have stopped before I said that, too late, got it out already. We're going to wrap things up. Don't forget, go to unioncircle.com and sign up. It's free, folks. For God's sake, it's free. In the meantime, I want to thank Anthony and Jeff for what they do. If you need me off the air, tony@thetonyshow.org, tony@thetonyshow.org. Starting tomorrow, we'll be double-dipping this show and the Ed Schultz Show for the next 3 days. Deep breaths and a nap today at some point. Anyway, in the meantime, and as always, I ask that you be well.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Your rush hour commute is busy. Let's head over to 94 westbound at US 23, where you have an accident on the ramp to US 23 northbound. 696 westbound, just after Mound Road. Accident has your left shoulder blocked with stop and go traffic from Van Dyke. Eastbound 94 at Schaefer. Accident has your left lane blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from Greenfield Road. 96 eastbound at Warren Avenue. Accident has your left shoulder blocked. And don't know how this got out here, but we got reports of a barbecue grill that's on your roadway on 94 westbound just before 8 Mile. So, of course, use some caution in that area. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 84 with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. Tonight, partly cloudy at 65. Tomorrow, sunny and 87 degrees. And it's currently 72 and rainy outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Listen on...